Hello.
Hey,
Why is my Skype doesn't say you're online?
my Skype shows you online, shows me online.
Right. Can you see my messages?
I couldn't see your messages.
That's weird. But you
I
could
mean,
call me.
could you see my messages?
Yeah, I saw yours.
But I never saw a response back.
That's what I figured, because you were
So
not
then I
calling
saw I was on Twitter because I said I'm just gonna wait for him, and then I saw your message come across.
That's weird.
I didn't see Luke online.
No, I sent him a message today telling him when we were going to be on. I mean, come on. You think he's up this early? It's not even noon in North
Oh yeah, I
Carolina.
forget he's drunk.
That's
He's hanging out with Dr. Bananas.
right. He's partying at the trash can with Dr. Bananas.
Yeah. Did I over exaggerate him being drunk in that first issue? Or was he this was it more subtle than it was?
I'd say both are true.
I clearly
You did
saw
exaggerate, and
a hungover though
he
monkey, right?
was
It was
wasted, vomiting in a trash can.
I know, but because of drinking, right? It did mention that he drank the night before or whatever.
That I don't remember. I don't remember if it was drinking or he did something, some kind of substance. It was either drugs or alcohol. Either way, it's a problem. He has a problem.
all ages.
Yes, we might have a special guest on today.
Yeah, if he wakes up in time to tell us about his Kickstarter.
About his new drunken Kickstarter.
Yep. I'm meeting some peeps in the morning.
Ah, that's good.
Too
Hey,
much sugar for.
I don't know if you knew this, but this morning I was forced to change my clock.
I didn't change any of ours yet. Our big clock in the living room usually doesn't get changed until August.
Well, I guess then you just never need to change it.
Well, it makes you think it's lighter. No, I'll probably change it today. I'll probably be proactive this year because I need a ladder to do that one.
Man, my
Yes.
throat's. I need to drink some delicious tea.
You didn't get the coronavirus, did you?
I don't know. Could be. I was at C2E2 last weekend,
Yeah.
and the coronavirus is in the Chicago area. It's
How
actually
many
right near my house.
people are
Is
infected in
the current.
Chicago?
It was four, but I'm not sure. It might have gone up since. I haven't looked recently.
Ours in El Paso County was two.
You got
But
two.
they had quarantined his whole family, and God knows what it's going to be on Monday, because it spreads like a bastard.
That's the problem here. I think that they was it here? Yeah, I think it was here. They were like talking to like 100 people who had come in contact with one of the people who had the who got it. So I don't think
Yeah,
they were
and a lot of
quarantining
people, it
people,
could
but
just be subtle. Like you could just have think you have a regular cold.
that's what they say.
Because it's not gonna manifest its, I mean, it usually hits older people or compromised immune systems.
Yeah, then you get it worse.
It's like the flu, except it seems more contagious and more unknown, like more things are not
More
known about it.
and more deadly,
Yeah.
but
Faster.
only if you're weakened
Are those
to
poor
begin
people
with.
on the goddamn ship, man? And I have friends that are go I mean, Rob Krieger's going on a cruise. I wonder if he canceled it.
I got so one of the guys in my office is going on a cruise this week, so I think he like leaves like today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And another good person I work with is actually on the cruise ship that's stuck in San Diego.
Oh my God, the one that they won't let
Yeah,
leave.
he can't
Shit.
leave. He used to be my boss like about 10 years ago.
There's a patient on there though that has cancer, and then there's one that has a heart condition, and she's running out of pills.
But they can bring pills to the ship, right?
I would think they could drop something off, like a helicopter or something, and
Because
just.
they have to be bringing like food and
I would hope so.
stuff to the ship. It's just that people can't come off.
I know Donald Trump is blocking everything, so. But he shook hands with somebody that has the coronavirus, so. Who knows?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Interesting times we live in.
But who knows what the truth is with
But
him?
this is good. This is good practice for the zombie apocalypse, though. We're seeing the what's going to happen. Basically, we're doomed.
It is because the what you do see is the paranoia of humanity against humanity. Like, if they released where these people live, I'm sure there'd be killings, you know? People are fucking stupid.
There certainly would be killings at all the grocery stores for supplies.
Yeah, the toilet paper. I'm concerned about that. I don't know if I haven't. You have to at least have a month and a half, I think, because you quarantine for 2 weeks plus whatever the incubation period is.
Right.
So it could be a long
It's not
time.
that long.
It could be a lot of pooping.
How much pooping are you going to be doing?
I eat more like you. I don't eat like you. Like, you only probably poop once a day, if that.
Yeah, once a day. Sometimes
Yeah.
twice.
I three times pretty much for me.
But you figure if you're quarantined, then you're gonna have to ration your food too, so you're gonna be pooping less.
I think we got enough food to last a while. 'Cause it's just me and Barb. We have a lot. We gotta go get Harley some food, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would be a problem. And you know what I was thinking? If there is an apocalypse, like a zombie apocalypse, and we can't get toilet paper, we're set. Because
But
we have an infinite supply of paper in our houses.
I don't want to do that to the paper. I don't know about you.
We'll be crying. You start with the stuff you don't care about.
Yeah, you could start with some books that are less.
I'm like, what did I give this one? 2 out of 5. Okay.
Who cares about this RAM book? So
Right.
it'll make money, but nobody cares about money anymore, so.
That's right. I'll just save the pinup page.
Yeah. That'd be the first one I
That's
wipe
what
with.
I
So I keep the story intact. I guess that's a way to do it, is take the ads.
That's right. Yeah, just pull out all the ad pages.
Yeah. And
I got duped.
Daryl
Maybe
has
I'll
nothing.
hit
There's
my
no
dupes
paper in that
with.
house for Daryl.
It's true. What's he
He
going to
better have a
use?
bidet or something. I don't know. He soak his ass in the sink, or I don't know what he's gonna do.
Hopefully, there's running water.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Otherwise, he's gonna have to use I
I
don't know,
anticipated running water for this event.
clothes.
Oh well, we gotta go grocery shopping today, so I'll get more water if it's available.
Heard it was selling out some places. I don't think we've had too much craziness here.
We have our Costco was in the news. People were buying the toilet paper within 5 hours and it sold out.
Well,
So
they'll be able to
if you come visit, it's bring your own toilet paper, just
just
so you know.
we can't spare any of
Bring
ours.
your own TP. Yeah.
BYOTV.
Yeah. Bring your own TP.
Well, I usually do, so that's fine.
Oh yeah, 'cause you like the hard rough stuff, right? Like one square and thin, the thinner the better.
Thin.
See,
I like it.
I like the 3-ply, man. You
Three
probably
ply.
do the one square as
You
rough as
know,
possible.
no, I don't like it rough, but yeah, you only need one ply.
If you make a catcher's glove out of it, maybe.
The nice fluffy toilet paper.
Yeah.
Why not? Splurge. If you're going
That's
to
right.
splurge, you might as well splurge on toilet paper.
True.
I mean, really.
It's a
Out of all the
comfort.
things, of all the things you can splurge on, you might as well get the good toilet paper.
Yeah. Well, you learn over time to get better things.
When it counts, yes.
When it counts with your comfort.
When the comfort of your butthole
Yeah.
is in question, why not have a nice. You want a nice clean butthole?
Yeah. Did you get a press pass
To
this year?
C2E2. Yes, I did. I was there
Do you have to reference
representing.
this episode? Because we're talking a lot about buttholes, and you're going to say, look at the C2E2 episode, and we're talking about the
My
apocalypse and buttholes.
drunk monkeys. Vomiting monkeys and buttholes.
Yeah. That's why Baltimore stopped giving me passes, because they listened to the episode of DC Noise, and we're talking about all kinds
Boy.
of dicks and all kinds of stuff. He says, where are you talking about?
But I listened and I didn't hear you
Comic-Con.
mention
You're
the
talking about farting in the elevator, and he wrote me this elevator, this thing back, you know?
Talking about condoms in the elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be something. Yes, but I will. I have my full C2E2 coverage ready to go.
Yeah, I didn't realize Nick didn't go.
Nick and Martin didn't go.
Yeah. Martin is kind of like vanished off the planet. I mean,
But
he
he got into all that hippie stuff.
ever since he started doing shrooms, man.
He's going on trips and self-discovery and
Yeah,
vision
ever since the
quests.
vision quest happened.
He's on another plane of existence.
That's right. He's not even on his own podcast anymore.
Yeah, Nick had a family thing going, emergency, so he couldn't make it.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
I wasn't sure if his if it was because of the coronavirus.
Was not.
You
Was
probably went to a good con because it's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, they already canceled ECC.
I know, I was like, it was funny because earlier we were saying that C2E2 was so early in the year and they're crazy. But now it's
Yeah.
like, oh, good thing they did
Yeah,
it
they
early.
did it before the major outbreak. You know,
Yeah,
like
we
it's
just had the
spreading like
small
a
outbreak.
fungus now.
Yeah, it's gonna be
I know somebody
interesting.
in our company has it, but they don't say where or where, like in our division.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't send you all home?
They sent us an email and they said somebody has it and I guess you'll be contacted. And I'm like, well, where is it?
Yeah, that's not good information.
There's a lot of coughing and stuff, so I don't know. It's like could be anywhere.
Yikes. That's when I work from home. I think if someone got in our building, then they would automatically just make everyone stay home.
Yeah, if you can do that, I could do like 2% of my work
Yeah, I
at
know you
home.
have restrictions.
So it's like I'm fucked. But I
You
would
can do training.
enjoy it. I
You
think
can just
I
do training. You can do training though.
they pay
You
for
can prove
training? What company?
yourself. What?
I didn't know that a companies pay for that.
Have you ever heard of YouTube?
It's like bring your own time. That's on your own time.
I know, but if you're stuck at home on quarantine and can't do actual work, then
But they
that's when
won't
you
pay
hit up.
for that.
Just go on YouTube. There's a bunch of you can go free training.
I
Go
know you could get. I know you could
watch some
get.
seminars.
I wonder. I know you can get free training, but they won't pay for your work hour to do the training. That's what I'm saying. So it's like you're
If you're
doing it on your
quarantined,
own. Yeah, if you're quarantined.
a bunch of bullshit.
That's what
You need
your
to talk to
vacation time is and your optional holidays.
HR. You need to learn to work the system.
Yeah. I think you can do something like long-term disability depend or short-term disability depending on what the situation is. Like if you're quarantined, you're quarantined.
I know our company's actually said that if you are unable to work, or yeah, if you're quarantined or whatever, then you get like paid leave,
Yeah.
like 2 weeks of paid leave, so you
Crazy
don't
time.
use your PTO.
Crazy, crazy.
It is. I'm just hoping that, well, they say that they're hoping that in the summertime it's going to go down like
Because
viruses
people are
usually do.
outdoors more, right?
Yeah,
Versus
because it's
in
warm.
tight
Viruses
quarant,
don't like the
yeah.
heat. So that's what I'm hoping, because I want to go to Heroes.
We already have our tickets and everything, so I
You're
don't
committed.
know.
Even if all the guests cancel, you'll still be there.
Well, we could go hang out with Micah and Claire.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, because half the stuff is outside the gun
Yeah. I don't know how all that will work, but I know I'm going to Albuquerque soon. So I don't know what their situation is over there.
anyway. Yeah.
My mom and dad are up here. That's why I was like, Bill, if you give me any reading assignments, I'm going to be in Boulder.
Yeah, I saw you post a picture of your fam.
Yeah. It was really good barbecue. Like, usually me and Barb don't go to barbecue places because we're always disappointed because we have Bird Dog over here and it's like the best barbecue ever. But this place that my brother took us is, I guess, south of, no, it's west of, east of Boulder. And it's an old, I guess, an old mining town, but they have like this downtown area that still has old buildings and stuff, but they had a great barbecue place, man. They had these, a lot of places you can't get these things called burnt ends, but what they are is like when they burn the ends off a brisket, it's like this fatty part of the brisket, and then they char it, and it just
Yeah,
tastes
burn it.
so damn good. This was like the best burn ends I've ever had. I'm like,
Nice.
holy crap.
Now,
And
was it like a chain place, or just like a little local
no, it was like
place?
a little local place, and
Yeah, those are the best.
yeah, it was KC style. So far I've tried all kinds of different like barbecues, and
Styles, yeah.
for me it's Oklahoma and KC. Those are the type I like the most. And the type I like the least are the Carolinas.
Which one's the vinegar-based one?
Carolinas
Oh, the
usually.
Carolinas, yeah. Do you like the sweeter ones?
Yeah. And I don't like the mustardy ones.
Yeah.
We went to that barbecue place at Heroes last time with Claire and Micah, right? I think we did.
Are you talking to me or Barb?
No, you.
Oh.
Barb's not here yet.
Which barbecue place?
I don't know. I thought we went to a restaurant that had barbecue, and I was wondering what the hell you got.
I don't, maybe I didn't go. That might have been the day before I got there.
No, it was definitely around the round table. You were there.
Oh, yeah. I remember that place.
It's
What
a
the hell did I
circular
get there?
table.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I don't remember what you got there, though.
I don't either. Fish? Shrimp? I don't remember.
Probably. I can't
Yeah,
believe how
I think
much you hate the shrimp.
I got. They're insects.
Yeah, like eat these things.
They're mean too, I think.
Do you think they're mean?
Yeah, they're mean to other animals.
In the cartoons, they seem pretty friendly. But I knew I couldn't read because you usually say, "Okay, read these five things," and I was like, you're gonna have to let me know more in advance too, because once they start going to the storage unit, I have to drive there and then go back.
Yeah, well, this was messed up because of the C2E2, so
Yeah.
I didn't get any reading on last weekend. And then this week I read a bunch of stuff from C2E2.
All right. Well, we can talk. Let's talk about C2E2. I don't
Yeah,
know. Did you
C2E2.
wait? Did you get your previews yet?
I did not. I haven't got my comics yet.
How's that happen? This
I
is
don't
already the
know.
8th.
I haven't even got an email about them being shipped yet. They're like super late.
Wow.
Sad. I looked on the website, to see what's going to be coming out in previews.
Yeah.
Because I was curious. I couldn't wait any longer. I had to see what the specials were. But no, I haven't got my previews yet. So we can't do our previews coverage.
Wow.
Oh. It's a sad day. Sad day, Diamond, if you're listening. You should probably just send me a previews when it comes out so we can do a previews coverage in a timely fashion. Thank you. You can at me at DBM00. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought for sure you'd have it because I was like, wow, I had mine last week.
Yeah.
And I've been having record shipping. It's weird. I've been getting my shipment sometimes on Thursday. That's incredible. You
complained about it probably on
social
media. No,
I didn't complain. Well, I have power because they know how much I spend. So
maybe they prioritize you.
They got to keep me happy.
Yeah, I just do monthly, so they're like, ah, screw that guy.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, fuck that guy. He only gets number ones anyway. Fuck that guy.
Screw Mr. Number One. I wish they had a bundle. Every number one. Boom. Done. Although I don't get every number one.
Yeah. So what? Tell us about C2E2.
Yeah, so C2E2. So this year I just went on Friday and Sunday, and I skipped Saturday for two reasons. One, because I didn't feel like dealing with the crowds. And two, it's hard when you have a local convention versus when you're going off for. Because when you're going off somewhere for a convention, yeah, you're going to go all the days.
And then you're there at the hotel and you don't have to drive there. And
yeah, you don't have to worry about
parking,
anything.
Yeah.
But when I'm at home, it's like, all right, see ya. And I go off. So I feel bad when I'm disappearing the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Taking off every day. Neglecting my family.
But you like it to do that on Father's Day. You're like, fuck you all.
That's not my fault. Hey, there's a C2E2 special on a sewing machine, if anyone's in the market for a sewing machine.
What?
It's an add-in. C2E2. I think it's for the cosplayers.
Oh, okay.
They love the sewing machines. So, yeah, so I went on Friday and I went on Sunday. And on Friday, so when I first got there, the first thing I did was look around at the, well, let's see, I'll start at the beginning. So I went down, I got there early enough that I on Friday I parked in the official parking lot because I wanted to be close because I was planning on buying stuff from the dealers and stuff and being able to take it back to my car.
Did you go through the Hashers and Burnout scene if you run into Martin?
I did. I walked past the Hashers and Burnout section to look for Martin and I didn't see him. Then
you didn't see Ronnie there?
No, I didn't see Ronnie in the Hashers and Burnout section either. Because Martin, I think, is turned a new leaf and is clean now, so I don't think he's going to be with
it
the
It depends on what you call clean.
True. True.
I guess if you're doing nature, but
yeah, I got it. He's doing the shrooms and the weed now, so he's doing the nature. So I didn't look at the. Oh, that's what I should have done. I should have looked in the deadhead room.
There's a deadhead.
I should have seen where I could score some acid, and then I could have probably found him. But no, it turned out he wasn't even there. So good thing I didn't go down that rabbit hole.
Probably looking in like the gardens for mushrooms, but it's too cold for mushrooms.
It is. That's a little too chilly in Chicagoland.
It's a fungus, man.
It is a fungus. So I got in and the first thing I did was look around at the dealer, like the first section. So they have. Chicago's I mean, you've been there before, but it's a pretty big con. It's not as big as, like, the hugest ones, but it's pretty big. And they have all the publishers and stuff at the front, and then the dealers. The one thing I'll say, I do wish that C2E2 had more dealers. I think that Heroes has more dealers than C2E2 does.
Well, that's because it costs so much, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, that is a good point. It's cost prohibitive for a lot of the smaller dealers, probably. Because one thing that C2E2 has that Heroes doesn't is the celebrities. So there's a lot of people who come to the con just to see the celebrities.
Yeah.
So I went around at the booths and I was looking for a few things. Didn't really find what I was looking for. But I did find, I found the one 50 cent booth, or one booth that had 50 cent boxes. So I went through those and got a few good things. And then, yeah, so once I was done that, I think I took my stuff back to my car and then came back. And then I tried to hit up Martin, and that's when I found out he wasn't at the show.
How did you try to hit him? Did you text him or what?
Yeah, just texting him. And then I texted Nick and found out he wasn't at the show. So then I texted Ronnie, and Ronnie was there. So I found out where Ronnie was.
You already had Ronnie's information, right?
No, I got that from Nick.
I
didn't have Ronnie's phone number. Or at least I couldn't find it. So,
yeah.
So I found them. So it was close to lunch. So they were just starting to gather at the like food court area at the con.
Oh, yeah. Really. They all had a beer in their hand, right?
Yeah. They had beers in their hand when I got there. So I got to the table and I saw everyone. So a lot of the same people from last year were there.
Yeah. Dwan texted me on Twitter and he said, he bought the, what was it called? The Implosion book? The one that has the first Youngblood?
Oh, did he get that?
Yeah, he got that. He got a good price for it, though, too, because it was CGC like 9.6.
Oh, wow.
And he said he was going to look for one for me, but I guess he didn't find it.
Yeah, he was talking. When I saw him that day, he was talking. He told me about it. He said he was thinking about it.
It was the Megaton Implosion.
Yeah, the Summer Explosion or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got a lot of Megaton, too, but I just finished that recently.
I think I have almost all of those, but those aren't.
It's so funny because I went to go look to try to complete RAM because I was like, you know, I'm kind of curious how this alien hits it off with this drunk bum. I was like, I'm just going to go buy that because it'd be cheap. And I was like, fuck, it's not.
How many issues are there?
There's only many, two. Right?
Oh, it's just the two.
And I thought number one would be high because of the Youngblood.
Yeah, the Youngblood.
And then I thought two would be like $1 or $2. And I'm like, $65. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it used to be cheaper. You could probably find it for cheaper than that.
I've looked. I have it on my watch, so I keep looking, but
yeah,
it's not even cheap on my comic shop. I think it's just because there's not a lot of copies.
Right. For sure, that's one of the things. And then they're probably stuck in boxes
somewhere that nobody ever looks at.
In people's collections, in their basement.
They're like, what is this fucking Megaton shit? I don't want to bother with that. It's not worth anything. Or they're dumping it, not realizing they have a gold mine.
Yeah, I don't have the number two. I need to find that somewhere, too. So if I see it, I'm going to shove you out of the way. It'll be like the apocalypse.
I heard Travis was getting like a bunch of heavy metal magazines.
Yeah, so when I got at the table there was Dwan, Travis, Bill, Jay, I can't remember, Aaron.
Oh, you got to meet Aaron. That's good.
The whole group, yeah. So
I've never met Aaron before.
Got to meet all those at the table, guys at the table, and then I can't remember what was walking around with a couple. Oh, Ronnie. Yeah, so Ronnie and Travis and I can't remember who else was with us. Yeah, we were walking around for a little bit, but then kind of we all broke up. And then, so we were checking out Artist Alley. And then I went to a panel, which, what was the first panel I went to? Oh, it was a Writing for Comics panel.
Ah.
And that one was, who was the, I don't think I wrote down who was there. It was, who was on the panel? Man, my memory sucks.
It's just last week.
I know my favorite person on the panel was James Tinian.
Oh, wow.
He was very insightful, which I guess comes as no surprise.
I'm surprising he's like, he seems like a, at least when I've seen him, like at bars and stuff with Daryl and people at cons, he seemed a little more introverted. So I'm surprised he was very spoken. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's a writer, so I think writers in general tend to be more introverted, not across the board, obviously.
You're kind of an introvert, but not.
I'm totally an introvert.
You're an introvert, but once you get to know you're not an introvert.
Right. That's how introverts work.
Like you don't get like social anxiety. Like we have friends that literally like to hang out, but then they need to decompress. Like
right.
They need to,
yeah, they get overwhelmed.
You don't have that.
No, I don't like crowds.
When you're with me, it's like 24 hours of talking, except with your sleep machine static.
Block you. That's when I block you out.
Yeah. You fucking That's bastard! True. You turn on that machine and put earplugs in. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm off the earplugs now.
Oh, that's good. I don't understand that. Why would you put earplugs?
I'll explain it to you sometime off the air.
I don't want to hear the white noise, so I put earplugs
in. Oh, man, I missed this panel. Pussy paragraphs.
Pussy paragraphs?
Yeah. It was a panel.
I
was in the comedy theater. That might be like a comedy troupe or something. They had like one of the rooms they were doing like comedy. They had like comedy groups coming in.
Huh.
So I'm trying to find this panel I went to. It must have been around 2-ish. Probably over here. What was it called? Here we go. Writing for Comics. Oh, that's very helpful. This guy does not have any details on any of the panels, which is strange.
Which Isn't is weird because it doesn't even have Tinian's name.
It just has a schedule, but it doesn't have like the details of each panel.
No, but wouldn't you? Isn't there like a schedule and then it's a breakdown of each one in detail and a different page?
No, there's no breakdown.
What the hell?
I know. I guess people don't care.
They think most people will remember that they went to a panel who was on it.
Most people are like, not old people, though. Old people have trouble remembering. Here we go. I found it. Kyle Higgins.
Wow.
And Carlos Gifoni.
Who's that?
That's why I didn't remember. He's a new. So they had Tinian because he's like been around forever.
Yeah.
Kyle Higgins has been around for a long time. Carlos Gifoni was on because he's new. He's only done one comic.
What
Strayed,
is it?
Strayed from DC. I mean, Dark Horse. Sorry.
Isn't Strayed from?
It's a
Action
different
Lab?
Strayed. It's a different Strayed.
Oh wow.
It's about a cat.
That's a cat. Oh, okay.
Time-traveling cat.
I gotcha. Yeah. I don't have that one.
I didn't get that one either, but I kind of want to now because apparently it's supposed to be good. So that was a good panel. I when I go to a panel like that, I'm hoping to just get a couple of notes that are useful to me, and I did manage to write down a few things, mostly stuff that
you already knew.
Yeah, most of the stuff I know, but every once in a while someone will mention something, I'll be like, oh, that's a good note. So I wrote that, down. So I have that, I wrote down my notes. And then after the panel, I went back to the floor and was doing Artist Alley. And after the panel, I like texted Ronnie to see where they were. And he said they already went back to the their house.
Wow.
So I'm like, son of a bitch. Lightweights. Well, they were out drinking the night before, though, so I think
they had went to the tiki bar, man.
they burned one on at the tiki bar. So
yeah, I heard that story on Valley on Nerdy Legion.
Nerdy Legion, yeah. So I think they were, a few of them were a little, what's the term for it?
I don't know with how much they drink, how they live. Like if I drank one of those things at the tiki bar, I would have been laid out the whole
weekend.
Like I wouldn't have went to the con the next day. I'd have been like, fuck this.
Yeah, a couple of them were hurting on Friday, but I think they just drink more to overcome. Hair the dog and out. You can beat your hangover by getting drunk again.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
That's when you get into trouble. Here's a lesson for all you children out there who are turning the ripe age of 21 and entering the wild world of drinking. So,
through the way experience, Bill is telling you.
That's right. The way you burn out your liver is by drinking all the time. So, like when you get up in the morning, you start drinking. If you drink all day, you're going to burn out your liver. And you're going to eventually need a transplant. Because when you drink, what you need to do is you need to give your liver time to recover.
To hydrate. You need more fluid to flush, right?
Well, it's not even that. Your liver needs, because when it's processing the alcohol, it's working really hard. And it gets damaged. So you need time when you're not drinking for the liver to repair itself. And if it can't repair itself, that's when part of it starts to die. Because it's not able to fix itself.
And here's one to grow on.
That's right. That's my lesson for the day. So, yeah, hopefully those Nerdy Legion troop is not doing this all the time.
Yeah.
But just at C2E2. So, yeah, so they weren't there. So I walked around Artist Alley, got a bunch of stuff. And then there was another panel I wanted to go to in the evening, which this was a really good one. I think you would, or I don't think you would like this panel. What was the name of it? It was called Making an Impact, Innovation in the Indie Comics Industry.
They talk about how not to lose so much money making your comic.
Well, this was interesting because they had, the panel was really good. It was, so they had a newcomer, which was the guy from Impact Comics? Impact Theory? Yeah, Impact Theory. I don't remember his name, but he's the publisher of Impact Theory, which is a...
Yeah, they were there last year, too. They gave us free copies of Neon Flux, or whatever the hell it was called.
Right. This year they were giving free copies of Hexagon, number one.
Oh, nice. I wonder if they're local.
I don't think they're local. But I think they probably hit all the big cons. So he was there because, and he had an interesting perspective because he started this company and he came from, I think he came from the tech industry, like on the like advertising maybe side of the tech industry. So he had a lot of experience in marketing. And I guess he was a fan of comics and wanted to get into comics. And everyone told him he was crazy. But he has a bunch of radical ideas on how to be successful. Then they had an old timer. So they had, now I'm blanking on his name. The guy from Aftershock. Joe, what's his name?
Joe Pruitt.
Yeah, Joe Pruitt. So Joe Pruitt from Aftershock. And he's been around since the Black and White Caliber days, so he's been around forever. So he had the like experienced point of view, and then they had someone who's also experienced, kind of in the middle, who came around in the 2000s, which was Ralph Tedesco from Zenoscope.
Wow, that would have been cool.
I've heard him talk before, and I always like, he's a very interesting guy, so I like going to his panels.
I wish she would have recorded that. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, and then they had Michael Moresi, is that how you say his name? The writer, who actually wrote Hexagon. He was there because he was getting the writer's perspective, like when you're writing a story, how do you think about like what's gonna sell and what's not gonna sell, and do you like try to write stories that are for a certain market? So that was a really, really good panel because they were talking about, they were getting
Well,
like real honest in terms of how like Diamond works and how the industry works and how hard it is and things that they've done and things that they've thought about and things that they're trying to do to sell more comics and how the industry has been affected, especially recently, by changes in the marketplace and stuff.
yeah.
It was really fascinating, especially hearing from the older
But what
guys.
did you learn from like Zenoscope? They've been around for a while. I mean, what are some of the things that.
So here's some of the things I learned. So the first thing is obvious that the kids market, the YA market is like huge right now and is like the future of comics pretty much.
Yeah.
So they're all trying to figure out how to tap into that market.
That's DC right now. They're concentrating more on that.
Yeah, DC is. That's one thing I saw on the DCBS site, that's in the new previews is, so DC's released a bunch of their YA titles, but now they're bringing out like a box set of like all of
Yeah, you could get like box set one and then box set two.
them. Yeah, which is a good idea. So they're actively trying to move into that market. The other thing they said,
And
so
that's not, I think the young adult market is not, they don't cater to like a monthly format. It has to be like one of those little trades or,
yeah, one and done. Yeah, like the
yeah,
graph
like it has to have a, it
OGNs.
has to have a little more meat, you know, than just a periodical.
Yeah, because for whatever reason, younger kids are, I guess it's because of the manga influence. Kids are used to reading bigger chunks of story and
Yeah.
not single issues. I think the single issues are also cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And they don't, you can't put them in a library, so.
That's interesting. So, how would that appeal to Zenoscope, though? I know they've played around in that area, but
Yeah, I
they're
don't think
like dinosaur
they
stuff,
have
but not
a,
much.
that's not their target audience at all,
But
so.
Impact Theory seems like they're heading that way with that Hexagon
Yeah, the
thing.
Hexagon for sure is tilted more towards a younger audience. I actually read it, so I think they're trying to go there. And Aftershock, I don't think, at least
They
I don't
seem
think
more
they've
like a Vertigo-esque,
gone that
like,
way yet.
yeah.
Yeah, but they could. I mean, they could do that. I know that Iron Circus, is that the name of the publisher? They do like some more indie stuff, but they're starting to bring out some more Y. They're starting to bring out YA books in addition to their more adult ones. So it's definitely something that publishers are cognizant
But
of.
the let what are some of the things that Zenoscope did? I'm just curious because they've existed so long, like.
Yeah. So I said that. Hang on, I gotta clear my throat.
He's got the coronavirus. He keeps having to clear his throat.
Man, that corona is getting to me.
He
So
drank too much
Zenoscope,
Corona.
Zenoscope is trying. So he said they're trying bigger page numbers, so issues like thicker issues, which I don't know. Are they doing that for their? I noticed they have that. Shit.
Oh, conspiracy.
Yeah, conspiracy. That's
Did you
it.
buy the latest one?
No, I don't get those because I was waiting for the trade, but I don't know if
What?
they're ever going to bring out a
Do you
trade.
know who wrote it? Adam
No.
Goldberg. From the
Really?
Goldbergs, yeah. The producer, I mean, one of the producers and writers, and then Goldberg was on the latest conspiracy, Area 51. I'm like, holy shit, that's him. I even looked it up to make sure it was him.
Yeah, I missed the boat. Now, are those thicker issues? Or
Yeah,
are they?
they seem like about 48
Yeah,
pages.
48 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the things they're trying. And the other thing is shorter arcs, which I definitely noticed that they're doing three issue arcs now of a lot of their books,
Yeah.
which sucks for me. Because 3 issues is where I have to get the single issues because getting the trade isn't worth it for me.
You know
Because if
why? You know
I've
why?
already bought the first issue, so.
Do you know why 3 issues is a magic number?
Why is 3 issues a magic number?
Because that's like how many previews you have in advance before you get the first copy.
So you've committed.
See, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, no, it's
So
true.
like if you're gonna go for a series, you usually say I'm gonna get it, and then you make the decision after when you get the first one. But you've already committed on the other two.
That's interesting. Yeah, and for me, for my model, it forces me to get the singles because I'm already a third, I've already paid for a third of it, so to get the trade would be stupid at that point. So that's how they're forcing me to get single issues. Impact Theory, he was going on about digital and how to deliver things digitally, and he was talking about like digital comics, not Comixology version of digital comics, but more like webtoons where you have scrolling comics.
Does he have success with that?
He
Did
didn't
he
really
say
say,
anything?
yeah. But he also says they're looking into doing videos. He said 3-minute videos he sees as the next delivery mechanism. Like that's what's popular now is really quick videos. Which I think we should start doing with our podcast. Just do 3-minute episodes. That's our new model.
That's
I'm like,
a
our model is like completely opposite of what the kids are looking for these days.
Yeah, we're not appealing to the kids, though.
We're not
Well,
talking
maybe
about
that I'm
comic books.
talking the manga now. I'm
Yeah,
getting there.
that's true. We talked a lot about YA.
Yeah.
YA books. Let's see, what's my next note?
Not many people read the toilet book.
Oh, they're talking about how, speaking of toilet books, how Japan is successful. One of the reasons Japan comics are successful in Japan is because they target the comics for specific audiences. Like they have specific books that are targeted for like 12-year-old boys. And like, 14-year-old boys, and then they have other books that are targeted to women, and or old or men or like adult men, and they're very distinct, right? Because they have like the tons of the younger stuff, then they have the sexy stuff, and then they have like the more romance stuff. But they're very categorized into these different areas, so people know exactly like which books that they would be into. Where
I think it's more acceptable though. Like they're willing to, they've learned to
But
deliver their product in such a way that people are more, they get more for their money, I think.
yeah, for sure there's other reasons for the success in Japan, but I think that having
And if you have
specific
it continuous, like in those show, the what do they call the Shogun Jumps or whatever, you're
Shogun
gonna
Jump.
keep doing it, like. You'll
Or it
keep
becomes
following
habit,
it.
yeah.
You're in a habit mode and it's an affordable mode. Like CrossGen tried to do that, like something very similar to that. It didn't work in America, but it was a great idea.
Yeah, I know a number of publishers have tried to do something similar to that, but haven't really had success. I think the Japanese one, like those magazines, those monthly anthologies are like cheap and on cheap, like newsprint.
Yeah.
And people are just used to getting them and reading them and tossing them. And then eventually it gets collected in a nicer book. Let's see if I have any other notes. Nope, that was it for my notes. So that was a really good panel. That was quite fascinating. And they even went over like the history. I knew some of it already, but the history of distributors. I think Joe was talking about that because he was talking about how they used to work with like, you know, 10 different comic distributors. And then slowly it kind of went down to two and then went down to one.
What did they say about like working through Diamond? Like if it's hard or...
I don't remember anything specific, but I think everyone...
It seems like a lot of companies now are trying to go away from it. Like
here's one thing that I didn't know.
TKO and Bad Idea. Do you know what I mean? They're seeing if they could be like Future Comics. Do you remember Bob Layton and Michelini tried that back in the day?
I remember Future Comics, but I don't remember what their model was.
Their model was that they would go sort of like Bad Idea direct to the comic store. And I think they were initially okay, like because they had won over like the Valiant fans because it was sort of similar.
Right.
But then I don't know what happened, but then they started to say, we're going to go through Diamond, and then they collapsed. I don't know if going...
That might have been the market at the time too.
Yeah.
Took down a lot of people. But one thing I didn't know is Zetascope actually said that they do direct to comic stores as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of people's other way around Diamond is just having relationships with the... And I don't know what kind of rules Diamond has with respect to that. But, I mean, I don't think anyone's happy with a monopoly, so... Very rarely are people happy when you only have one option.
Yeah.
Because if something goes wrong with that relationship, then you're out of luck. Plus, you have to... I mean, that's the problem with the monopoly is that when there's one source for something, then they get to dictate the rules and you can't say shit about it.
Yeah.
So if you're a store and you don't want to work with Diamond, then you got to close your store.
True.
So that was good. So then back to the convention, I went back on Sunday and I think I was doing Artist Alley for a while, and then I ran into Travis. So Travis and I walked around for a while. We were just going through Artist Alley and talking to different creators. We talked to, he was showing me this one company that has, it's kind of like Anomaly Comics, where it's a comic book, and then if you use their app and point your phone to the comic, it like shows the art like comes alive,
yeah,
on your phone, which is really cool. The guy there had some cool stuff, and that was just one guy doing it. He was doing he does the comic and he does the programming for the app.
That one Brian Haberlin is big into that.
Brian Haberlin does the Anomaly ones, and then this was some, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he said he sold out all the stuff he brought. So actually a couple of people tables we went to, they'd sold out everything by Sunday.
That's good. I thought there'd be less people, you know?
Yeah. And I think the crowds were pretty similar to, they might've been a little less than last year, but there were still a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm.
We also went to Andrew McLean's table, who does a Head Lopper. We talked to him a bit. And we talked to David Mack for a little bit. He was there. Who does Kabuki. So I hung out with him for a while. And then Aaron found us. So we were walking around with Aaron for a while. And then Travis went back. So I was just hanging out with Aaron for a while, talking to him. Which is good because I'd never met him before. So
yeah.
It was good to meet him in person. And then, so then all those guys had to like fly back. So
they went
all back to their house, and I just shopped for the rest of the time I was there. I don't think I went to any panels on Sunday. But it was good. It was fun. Good times. I did get, and then I swung by your hotel on the way out. And you weren't there.
I wasn't.
And I was sad.
That's right.
And I said, I went up to the counter. I said, I demand you tell me what room the Myers are in.
And they looked at you very funny.
We can't give out that information.
Yeah.
We said, told them. I'm going to go knock on every door.
Yeah. Until
I know they're here. But then I remember you said you weren't going to stay in that side of the hotel. You're going to go on the other side.
That's right.
Hampton Inside. And I felt like a fool.
They had better breakfast.
Yeah, they got the free breakfast. They got the nice breakfast buffet. Everyone's smiling when they come out.
That's right.
So another C2E2 done.
What sort of comics did you pick up besides the Impact Theory?
I got a bunch of stuff from Artist Alley. A couple of them I was going to talk about today that I really liked. And then I got, so I'll talk about some of the stuff I got from dealers that were kind of interesting. I always like to go through the kids comics, like a lot of dealers and dealers who are listening, because I know we have a lot of dealers who listen to our show who go to comic conventions.
Are you serious? I didn't know about this. I thought we had like 10 listeners.
10,000. I don't know. I don't look. I don't see the numbers. So, but I'm sure. I'm sure. Intuition tells me this. Why wouldn't they?
Okay, so they're listening right now, and you're.
They should be,
because
this is going to be a good tip for them.
Okay.
I like it when they have a separate box for the kids' comics.
Why?
Because it makes it easy for me to go through and find weird stuff, like this that I picked up from Archie Comics. That Wilkin boy.
Ah.
It's Meet Bingo, That Wilkin Boy. And I got like 5 issues of it. So this is a Archie comic from the 70s featuring Bingo Wilkin and his neighbor. And it's done by, I can't remember the creator, like Goldman or Goldberg or something. I read 2 issues of it, and I like it. It's pretty much an Archie comic.
Stan Goldberg.
Yeah, Stan Goldberg.
Dan DiCarlo
did everything, I think, had a hand in everything at Archie. But it's your typical Archie art. And it's the story of this kind of layabout kid, Bingo, and his girlfriend. And they live next door to like this. I can't remember what his neighbor's name is, but he's like the curmudgeonly neighbor who gets in trouble with his wife because he's very chauvinistic. But it was funny that one of the ones I read, it was like Valentine's Day, and Bingo got his girlfriend flowers and she's like, "You never buy me flowers." And he said, "That's because I found them in the garbage." And she's like, she's all mad about it. He's like, "What? I gave you flowers." And she's like, "You don't understand love at all." It was funny. So I recommend that. Well, I don't recommend it because I don't want people to find them and take them from me.
I have one of them. I just picked one up recently. I didn't know it existed either.
But that's the kind of thing that I am... love to find at a convention when I find these. And there's a lot of issues of that because the issues I got are like in the 20s and the 50s.
Yeah, 52 issues.
Yeah. I think I got 50, 51, and 52.
Ah.
I got the rare final issue. But yeah, so I love it. I love it when I find stuff like that. That's like that's my joy in life.
Yeah, I like when they have them broken out by category and things like that. You could find Harvey comics that way. There's been some vendors that have like a Harvey box.
Yeah, that's the good stuff. And then, I'll talk about the Artie Sally stuff. What else did I get? I got the, I don't have it here. Oh yeah, here it is. I got the Medieval Spawn Witchblade 1 through 4 because I didn't have that. Speaking of Brad Haberlin, he did that because I was missing that whole. There's just a 4 issue run
Yeah, I think I'm missing like
mini series.
one of the issues, so you could send me that issue.
So I got that, and then I just got the in the 50 cent. I just got a bunch of. I was actually probably gonna do a video, and post it to our YouTube channel on all the 50 cent stuff I got. But it was interesting because in the 50 cent boxes, there were like older stuff that and stuff that you usually would find. But then there were like a bunch of stuff from like Artist Alley convention type stuff from San Diego Comic Con of like a couple of years ago.
Huh.
So it was weird.
Yeah, I'm missing number 3, so send that on to me if you have it.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I have a dupe of it. So yeah, so I'm pretty excited to check out these like weird these like self-published books that I got on the cheap.
That's a Garth Ennis too. The Spawn Witchblade.
Now this is Medieval Spawn Witchblade.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
I don't see his name on the cover.
Well, maybe you don't have the same one I do, but it's Medieval Spawn Witchblade.
All right, I'll believe you. Then I got some
1996
Suiciders.
to maybe there's another one.
That is possible.
It's a hard word to spell, that medieval.
Then I didn't even know about this. Jack Cross from DC.
Yeah, that was awesome, Warren
By Warren
Ellis.
Ellis. Yeah, I didn't
Yeah.
even know about that, so I'm excited to read that one.
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of stuff.
There's two medieval Spawn and Witchblades. One of them's by Garth Ennis,
Okay.
and the other one is by the other one's more current. That's Haberlin and Haberlin. That's 2018.
I didn't know it was that recent.
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
And then I got a bunch of issues of different things that just kind of fill in holes in my collection. So it was good. I was happy.
Well, that's good.
Oh, are you missing an issue of did you got that series Secrets and Shadows, right? Last year?
Don't remember. Let me check.
From like from artists. That was a John Parrish book. That we got on that like side aisle.
I think I did, but I didn't put it into my database, so I don't know.
Okay, I did because I got a couple issues of that I already have. I didn't know because I thought you were missing one, but I couldn't remember which issue you're missing.
I remember that guy. I don't remember which one either. Let me look in my
I
I
remember
could
he was sold out of one of the issues. But I couldn't remember which one, if it was like number one or.
Maybe I didn't record it either. That sucks.
Man, you're gonna have to drive
Secrets.
out to the storage unit.
Secrets. It's called Secrets and Shadows.
Secrets and
Oh,
fantasy.
I have it here. It says, oh, I have 1 through 3. I read John
Okay.
Parrish.
Then I guess you're not missing one.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was a successful C2E2. I didn't go see any of the celebrities, except at a distance.
Was there anybody you wanted to see?
I would like to see Joe Hill.
Oh, wow. That would have been cool to get like a Daphne, one of his Hill House books signed, but probably a Basket Full of Heads or Plunge.
Yeah, but he wasn't at like a table at Artist Alley. He was in the autograph area.
Yeah, I wonder if his line was big. Did you notice?
I didn't notice, but I'm guessing it was fairly big. I mean, because he is Lock and Key, and he's a established like novel writer.
I think I would have waited in line to do that, just because of Lock and Key and the Hill House books.
Yeah, and I like his novels too. So that's the only one that I would have done.
Yeah, he's been fairly successful adapting his stuff to TV too, because he has Nosferatu as well.
I didn't know he was involved in that. How do I get back to Twitter?
What do you mean?
Oh, here we go. Or not Twitter.
You don't know, so you're really
losing
it. How
do I get to Twitter? How do I get to Twitter?
You don't know how to use Twitter anymore?
Okay, Luke Foster's on if you want to call him.
Oh, no.
Are we ready to bring him in?
I think I can. No, tell him to wait. Right. Tell him to hang out by himself for a while.
Actually, he's been waiting for a little bit. I just noticed the message. Hold on, bro.
Is that what you said?
I'm going to say that. Hold on, bro. We're recording. There you go. Hold on, bro. We're recording. Send. Are you recording? Oh, there we go.
I am now.
I'm recording. Hello. There's an echo.
Is there?
Yeah. Either that or you're in the toilet.
Not in the toilet, no.
All right, there's no echo anymore.
Yeah, let me try doing something.
It sounds better now.
See if I.
I think you're fine.
Okay.
You are very rusty at this.
Yes, I am. I haven't done this in a long time. And I'm doing it on a new computer, too.
Ooh, la-di-da.
Well, I mean, not really. The computer's a year old. I just haven't podcasted since then.
Well, welcome to the show, Luke Foster.
Yeah, thank you for destroying our episode.
Now you've made Mike's work very hard.
Our C2E2 coverage is destroyed.
It's gone forever.
Yeah. Well, I gotta be me.
You're always fucking us, man. That's what you're always doing.
Well, I gotta be consistent.
You're always drunk and fucking us.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that means I shouldn't bake anything for you for Heroes Con then.
I didn't know you ever did.
Well, I started and you always requested something. So
usually you just demand stuff like go bring me some wings or go give me this.
It's true.
Or let me eat your chocolate. You don't ever say let me bake you a cake or anything.
Well, I just taught myself how to bake, and so your wife said, "Hey, bake us something." So I said, "Okay."
Ah.
I don't know if I trust that.
Well, listen, I haven't killed anyone at work yet with my food, so.
Give me bacon.
Cat hair all over everything.
Oh, no, see, she's afraid of the kitchen, so.
Big old fur ball in this cake. What is this?
Why is there a paw print in my brownie?
Why am I choking?
Look, Barb's choking now just thinking about it.
Well, if I do kill you all, then I won't have to do it a second time, so that'll be a time saver.
Well, they're canceling the con anyway.
I had, yeah, God, I hope not.
Well, hopefully it'll be like ECC. You get your money back.
Yeah. Of course, by then, we'll all be like, well, like most people will be dead and we'll all be living in Las Vegas or Colorado.
Why? We had the coronavirus over here, too.
It was a reference to The Stand. After everyone died, all the good people flocked to Colorado and all the evil people flocked to Las Vegas.
Ah. Well, you'll be in Las Vegas and we'll be in Colorado, so...
Sir.
We still won't see each other. Wow.
I don't know if they'll allow sending baked goods across the state lines like that. We won't allow evil brownies into our state.
So tell us why you're here, Luke.
I am doing a Kickstarter for a anthology, a 8-story anthology called 8 Gunshots, Stories of the Wild West. It's got 8 different stories by different writers from independent comics and people who are pretty, well-known in the short story world. And then each story has got a different illustration by an independent artist, all capped off by a cover by Ariella Cristantina, who drew Insects and Mata Hari, and has got a bunch of other projects coming up in the pipeline.
Cool.
Thank you. I'm looking to raise $3,000, which is going towards paying the creators and publishing costs. And shipping. So it's a pretty low number, but I could use any support I could get. And I know all y'all, your loyal, wonderful, attractive listeners appreciate good projects like that.
We don't have any listeners. Since you stopped listening, we don't have any more.
Yeah, way to... what's the word for it? We to offend half of our audience.
What, by saying that they're attractive people?
That only the attractive people can... You said only the attractive people can support this Kickstarter.
No, what I'm saying is all your listeners are, dare I say, the most attractive people in podcasting.
I don't know. Have you seen some of
them? I have. My statement stands.
Have you looked in the mirror? No.
You're probably going to get some distortion on this call. That'll be me crying.
Well, you're on today, Bill.
Thank you.
I wish I had that drum set to go da-dun-dun. Hit the cymbal.
So what's the format of this, did you say?
It's a 64-page magazine. It's a prose anthology. So basically, it's table of contents and then the 8 different stories.
But is it like magazine size?
Oh yeah, it's magazine sized.
That's cool.
Typical magazine dimensions. I forget what they are off the top of my head, but
what's the size of it like compared to say like a Playboy or a Hustler?
Something Bill's familiar with when it comes to prose, right?
It's just slightly larger so that you can hide a Playboy or a Hustler inside. And no, I think it's about the same size as a pornographic periodical.
So are you saying that if we put that in, we'd get busted? It wouldn't hide the Hustler.
Wait, so you're saying one of the tiers is that it comes with a pornographic magazine inserted in it?
I'm saying it's not because I'm pretty sure that violates Kickstarter standards, but
he wouldn't be here if it had that, Bill.
That's true.
He would have already hit the goal.
This is true.
Yeah, now how come, so you can't have pornography, but there's been some naughty comics on there for sure.
I don't know. I've heard people getting grief from Kickstarter about that, so.
I just read something that was pretty nasty from Kickstarter.
Then maybe I'm confusing it with something else, I don't know.
And you know the funny thing, like, so whenever you go to Kickstarter and you click on comics and it shows like all the comics, anything that has like a sexy woman is like totally funded. Like 400%.
That's yeah. because I fund those, Bill.
That's yeah. It always says first backer Mike Myers.
Yeah. You have to have a sexy woman on the cover. It has to be a comic. And then I'll go for it.
Then
check and it has to boxes. Have explicit content. Then I'm there.
And you're in, all in.
Well, I hope you make it. I really do.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes, I'm good luck.
I'm getting personally scared myself of doing my Kickstarter because just looking around and seeing how much this shit costs.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be happy if I'm $3,000 in the hole.
It is. Well, I won't tell you. It's an emotionally intense and grueling experience, but, you know, once you get it done, it'll be worth it.
No, it won't, but I'll at least be able to say I did it.
No, it won't.
And then I'll retire on that note.
Then you'll retire? That'll be your retirement, your grace note?
That'll be my, like, I'm never going to do it again. Just like I went bowling and I bowled over a 200 and I was like, I bowled like a 250. I was like, I'm not going to bowl again. That's the last game. You're only as good as your last game.
Well, Mike, after this Kickstarter, you're going to have to keep working to make back the money before you can retire.
No, I put aside money for this loss.
Mike goes on a series of bank heists.
I know. I see where... It'll be funded, because I'm going low, man. I'm going to at least put it at, like, low... If I could sell 10 copies, then it's funded. Bang! And then whatever happens after that is whatever happens.
Gravy.
You can certainly do that. That's, yeah, I mean, that is a good strategy.
Yeah, I have seen ones that do, like, super low.
Yeah, like $100, and we're funded. And then it's like, they get like $1,000. Like, we raised 10 times the amount we said we were going to raise.
I know. It's a Kickstarter record.
Mm-hmm.
Because we asked for negative $3,000. So it is an interesting balancing act between what you can afford to do and what you think you can raise.
Yeah. Plus, you also have to build in, like, what, like, you have to add in an extra 10% because that's what, like, Kickstarter and the funders take out off the top. And then you have to, you should calculate your taxes, how much you'd have to pay in taxes.
10% of what? Of what you make?
Yeah, like, so if you raise, like, $2,000, they would take 200, like, Kickstarter would take 5%, and whoever, like, does the funding transfers and stuff like that would take 3 to 5%, depending on how much you raise. So you want to build that into, what you are...
Your target?
Yeah, your fundraising goal.
Oh, that's depressing.
It's very complex.
Mm-hmm.
So you, what is this, Luke? You're like fourth or fifth or something?
It is. I've run four successful ones. My very first Kickstarter was unsuccessful, and I had an earlier.
That was the nude self-portraits, right?
It was, yes.
I'm surprised I didn't make it.
I guess I'm just too real for the.
Even with Bill's 10K feature, it didn't come out.
I did the all in. Yeah, the all in.
You wanted the
I learned a lot of important lessons that time.
The exclusive nude at a convention.
I did the appear in this comic.
Yeah, you're like, I get to appear nude in the comic. You bought that level, right, Bill?
Yeah, I'm in the background. Mute in the background.
So, how are you doing so far?
I've got about 14% of my goal, and it's been running since Tuesday for like 5 days now.
Ah.
So I had a great huge push at the beginning, which is awesome. And
it seems like with an anthology, it would drive more because of if you have five writers and those five writers know
Five
five
people.
people and those five people know five people, then I don't know. It seems like it would be more successful than if it's just one, but who knows?
Yeah, well, I'm still doing like the bulk of the promotion. I know some of the other folks are, talking about it on their social media and stuff like that, but I'm definitely doing the bulk of it. I'm, going on podcasts like this one, and I've sent out press releases. I've even gone on Reddit to promote it. That's how dedicated I am to getting this thing to pass.
Do you like poke the creators and ask them to actively
Yeah,
promote it?
I sent them an email on Tuesday, and I've tagged a bunch of them in posts on Twitter and stuff. And they've done some, yeah.
But why would they not want to? Like that's my curiosity.
I don't think it's that they don't want to. It's
Is that
they don't want
they
to over they don't want to overdo it, obviously.
yeah, and since I'm
Expand
the
their
guy spearheading
followers.
everything, then it's definitely more at the forefront of my mind than some people who might also be working on other projects at the time too, So, but I know there have been some benefits from other folks' promotions.
Yeah, but you think like, I don't know, you have at least two people that I know that are on this thing. You have Keith Cunningham and Sean Pryor.
Yeah, you got to start whipping Keith.
You
I
gotta
should.
whip Keith and then get Sean, because Sean's got a bigger following than most.
Yeah, no, Sean's been actually really good. Sean actually made the video that's on the on the on the page.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Sean's been very good.
He's a good man.
He's usually successful in his Kickstarters.
And there's almost a month. This one goes until April 2nd, so there's time, but you gotta, keep at it the whole month.
Yeah. Okay, so now it's time for your dramatic reading of a passage from your book.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, let me pull one up.
I'll do it. Then he walked into the dusty saloon and sauntered up to the counter and said,
And only his chaps.
and
His
he
assless
said,
chaps.
have you seen my pants?
No, you guys are reading from Eight Gunshots After Dark. That's
And he said, and while you're at it, I'll take a cheer wine to go. The
Hey,
bartender.
I live in North Carolina, the home of cheer wine.
You
Yeah,
do.
I do.
And the bartender, she winked at him and said, I noticed you weren't wearing any pants.
I
And he said,
just
what's
got
that?
done getting my salad tossed.
Sorry, I just got waxed. And she said, I could tell. All right. That's good. I'm going to support it now. I like that.
You want to
That's
see
in my wheelhouse.
you want to see where
I
those
want to see
assless
where that
chaps
goes.
get him.
Yeah.
I
I
and I can't lie.
want
I've got a tear in my eye right now from how beautiful that reading was.
to see. Yep, you probably sold at least 10 copies there, Bill. The assless
Least.
chaps. So they have until the end of the month.
They have until 7 p.m. Eastern Time on April 2nd.
And an estimated delivery of April. So
Yeah,
that's a
April, like
pretty quick turnaround.
the digital stuff will definitely be in April. The print stuff will be in probably like late April, early May. The work is done. It literally just needs to be laid out. And the guy who's doing all the layouts for me is pretty good at this. He's pretty fast, so that won't take long at all.
You should update your site then, because it says April.
Where does it say April?
Estimated delivery April. April 2020, unless you get the $400 one, then it's June.
Ah. Well, I mean, the math I did just balance. It's likelier than not that it'll all be out at the end by the end of April. So, and the $400 one that Mike was talking about is you can get the original black and white line art of the cover in addition to a copy of the magazine.
Nice. So you haven't, this will be your, you haven't printed a magazine before, have you?
No, I've printed
Your first
five
he's
comics.
he's been in magazines before. He just hasn't printed one as a Kickstarter,
Yeah, well, listen, college won't pay for itself, so I had to take some photos at.
I thought we were supposed to mention that one on the air, but
But no, and also I'm printing this through Amazon Direct Publishing instead of, because this is a prose magazine, it's not a comic, so I'm going through a different publisher this time around. But I've seen the end product of some of the Amazon magazines, and it's really high quality stuff, so.
Interesting. And then it gets put on Amazon later,
Yep,
right?
it will be. So I'll have copies. People will have digital copies. You'll be able to get it on Amazon in theory. And
Now, I have a serious question. I've been
yes,
wondering this for a while. Are there any monkeys in this comic? I mean, in this book? Specifically, are there any stories about drunken monkeys?
there are zero stories about drunken
Oh,
monkeys.
fuck that bullshit.
No more Dr. Bananas, man.
There's no Western monkey stories.
There are
There's
none.
no all ages drunken monkey.
There are none.
Oh, there you go. You just got a. I just heard one of our listeners make a contribution. Thank you.
All the Nerdy Legion guys like the drunken monkey.
They did.
Yeah.
I
So
mean, everybody.
anything else you want to plug, or you want to stick around while we finish talking about C2E2? Or do you want to just go eat lunch?
Or do you have to go on to your next podcast?
I
actually have to go to the gym because I am getting out of shape and I don't want to be.
Okay, that sounds good.
Well,
Well,
thank you, gentlemen.
check out 8 Gunshots Stories of the Wild West on Kickstarter.
Yep.
You can put that in your search engine. I'm sure you can search under Luke Foster too and get that.
I also made a short URL. You can go to bit.ly/8, the number 8 gunshots. So it's bit.ly/8 gunshots, and that's with the number 8 and a capital G.
There you go.
There you go. Luke could be the next Robert E. Howard
There you
in a
go.
pulp magazine. There you go.
Did you say what you have in this magazine personally?
Oh, yeah, in addition to editing it all and curating it, I have a story called The Sins of Peste Negra Rodriguez. It's about an outlaw who goes to an old a mission in the in Mexico to get revenge on a gangster he thinks turned into a priest, and then things get violent from there.
Excellent. That sounds like an old Zorro tale.
There is lots of gunplay, even some curse words, so don't let your children read it.
So this is not a YA title
No.
from the West.
No.
Good to know. I'll have to keep it away from the youngsters.
It's probably for the best.
Put it
You got a
with
point.
crossed.
Point.
Put it in the crossed box.
You'll have to say, kids, don't, when they come up to your table, don't, this is not for you. This drunken monkey is for you.
Exactly.
The Tales of the Drunken Monkey.
This wholesome drunken monkey is for you. This gunplay is not.
The gunplay. Well, good
So
luck, Luke.
Keith did the illustration for for two of these things. Very cool. All right, well, good luck to you, and get jacked up, I guess, at the gym.
I will.
And get swole.
I hope you get pumped up.
Oh, I will. I will.
Wipe everything down. Don't get the corona social virus.
Oh, yeah. No, gross. Yeah, definitely not. And right. I hope you guys enjoy your C2E2 talk, and I hope Bill didn't get coronavirus there.
No, let's hope not. He's got the itch in his throat. So.
I got something, but my balls are sore.
I don't think that's how coronavirus is contracted. So good news, you're safe. Bad news, we're going to have to sit down with you later.
Well, the way Bill contracted it could be that he attacked his balls first. because he did put his balls in someone's face.
But, hey, can I help it if those Artist Alley tables are right at ball level?
Yeah. You're a teabagger is what the problem is.
Bill, I don't think your body's a wonderland anymore.
Oh. But he didn't know that he teabagged somebody with the coronavirus.
I didn't know that comics had the coronavirus on them.
Matter of fact, I'm going to call the hotline right now and say he's got it on his balls, just so he's quarantined. His balls are quarantined.
Quarantine his balls.
That's right. All right. Well, you have a good one, Luke.
You guys, thanks very much.
I think you can just hang up, and we'll continue.
I will do so. All right. Take care, guys.
Hope it works.
You. Bye.
All right. We'll see.
Yeah, go check out his Kickstarter, especially if you're into the Wild West.
And there are chaps on the cover of this thing.
He did not mention that.
Yeah. They're not assless chaps, but they're chaps.
They're chaps, nonetheless.
What was the purpose of a chap? I mean,
I think it protects your legs from the horse, like rubbing against the horse.
Oh, so you're not like chafing or something? Or?
Yeah, so you don't chafe.
Ah. Let me see if assless. I'm still recording. Yeah, I'm still recording. So I don't know what happened there. I've never had that happen before.
That was weird.
No, I did the same thing I always do. I added him, and it like disconnected.
Yeah, it
the
said
stream.
Call ended.
Yeah.
But the call kept going, so it was weird.
The call kept going, but the recording stopped.
Now you got to splice together. Now we have two episodes.
Yeah.
Welcome to Geek Brunch.
Welcome to Geek Brunch. So we were talking about some of the Artist Alley books you picked up.
Yeah. I need to take a potty break, though.
Are you kidding me?
No. I don't have headless headphones.
What did you eat for breakfast?
I finished my tea.
Ah. Well, I guess I'll talk about something I read while you're gone.
Yeah, I'm going to go pee-pee.
All right.
My headphone cord isn't long enough, so.
That's why you need wireless, my friend.
I do. I'll have to start a Kickstarter.
So I'm going to talk about World's Finest Huntress and Power Girl while he's gone, because that's what I'm reading. I went to the basement and I started poking around a box that I didn't even have inventoried. And I pulled out some new 52 stuff. And I pulled out The Wake. I'm still reading The Wake by Snyder. And Sean Phillips, I think, is the artist. Or Sean Murphy. I can't remember. It's one Sean. And then I started reading The Huntress, World's Finest Huntress and Power Girl. And that's by Paul Levitz with art by R.B. Silva. But it's interesting because he doesn't do the breakdowns. The breakdowns are done by Scott McDaniel of Nightwing fame and other fame. And R.B. Silva, I think, is doing X-Men books now, so it's really interesting. But if you recall, the Huntress and Power Girl were from Earth 2. And this Helena, it's interesting because there's like two Helenas on this on Earth now. There's the Helena that was like in the Grayson book, and then there's this Helena from Earth 2, and she was teamed up with Power Girl, and this Power Girl is she the cousin of, I can't remember if she is the cousin or sister of, she's like the Supergirl of, she might be the daughter of Superman, and Helena is the daughter of Batman. And the way this series is introduced is Apocalypse and Darkseid are boom tubing to destroy the Earth. And the boom tube event happened in Justice League, but it also happened in Earth 2 and World's Finest. And Helena and Kara actually came to our Earth. They survived the destruction of their Earth, came to our Earth. And Kara's really rich, and Helena is growing up without a family. They're trying to exist on the Earth without all the things they've known, and they're doing it together. She's at this point in time in issue 17 and 18, she's sort of losing her powers. Power Girl's powers, like she'll be flying and then she's falling out of the sky. She's losing her powers. She's out of control. She uses her money to get into a shuttle and launches herself into space. And then she just absorbs as much sun as she possibly can. And then comes down and gets like hyper-powered. And then Helena sort of has to save her as Huntress. But they're tracking down a woman. I don't even know if they call her like Tattoo Woman. But she's like Tattoo Man, except Tattoo Man is like Green Lantern villain. He can sort of like manifest his tattoos in any kind of form. Well, this Tattoo Woman, she like makes these like shadow demons that come out of herself. They're not really have any form. It's just like this weird shadow, and they're trying to track down this woman through by finding tattoo artists. And one of the scenes they open up with Kara trying to get tattoo because she's depowered at the time, but the needle breaks, so her powers are just like out of control. So the tattoo artist is like, you know, I could try another, and she's like, that don't bother. She just leaves. But anyway, that's how that issue, those two issues focus on them trying to track down the Tattoo Woman. And then the annual goes into the backstory of when Helena's mother, Catwoman, died, and she's being raised by her father, Batman, Bruce, and he's teaching her to, they're actually going to like an old whorehouse that Selina used to be in and try to take down the whorehouse. And she's doing that with her father. And then it cuts to a scene where Power Girl is, she's working to take down a villain and runs into, actually she's trying to save this guy from a building collapse, and she sees an Amazon destroy the building and kill one of the guys that tried to save her as she was Kara, not Supergirl. And she feels guilty about it, so they're tracking down this Amazon, which turns out to be the daughter of Wonder Woman at the time. So it's a really interesting take, and if you like Elseworlds, this all happens on Earth 2. The main series happens on Earth 1, but I'm really enjoying it. And there are a lot of these gems in New 52 that I think are pretty amazing. So that's World's Finest, number 17 and 18. And the World's Finest Annual. And these are from the New 52. And I highly recommend them. They're really interesting.
So you're just reading stuff that you just haven't got around to yet?
Yeah, I've been reading Tom King's Batman, and I'm enjoying it. reading it like a trade, I guess, or I'm enjoying it more than when I was reading it as it was coming out month to month. So I'm trying to get caught up on Batman, and basically going down to the basement, finding boxes of unread material, and just pulling out like a whole series and marathoning
Yeah.
through it is my newest
Need
binge
something
type.
that catches your eye, yeah. Gonna read through.
Yeah. And I read The Cimmerian, Queen of the Black Coast. It's the one from Ablaze.
Okay.
And
I think I ordered that, but I haven't gotten it yet.
it's interesting. It's an interesting art style. I think you'll like it. I liked it, but I could see some people not liking it if they like traditional Conan art. But this is the one that's done overseas, and this is open public domain stuff. The story is, but I guess they can't put Conan on the cover. So, I mean, Conan can be on the cover, but he can't have the name Conan, but he's
Can't.
definitely Conan in the book. There's a little more nudity, like it, but it's like classy nudity. It's not like crossed nudity, like, or boundless nudity. It leaves
It's
more to
not
the imagination.
exploitive,
Yeah, you might get like a humping scene, but there you only see like the side of the butt. It's more in a classy scene because this d deals with Bellette. This story has been told over and over again, so you're not spoiling it. But after Conan was king, he sort of became a pirate for a bit, and then he ran into Bellette as her ship attacked a ship he was on, and they sort of fell in love. And they go on adventures together. For me personally, I thought this was a really good take, but it's taken more from the prose, like a direct adaptation. And a matter of fact, what's interesting about it, and going back to what Luke's doing, is they took that material that was actually written in the magazines, the pulp magazines, and by Robert E. Howard. And they put the Queen of the Black Coast, and you'll see how small it is. It's really 3 pages of text. And then you get into the Black Lotus, which is the second part, and that covers. So these were like in pulp magazines, and you'll see that there's like, 3 pages worth of text or per story, and they adapted that for this comic book, like direct. It's a direct adaptation.
But
Whereas
is
the.
that text in the comic?
Yeah, it is. So you can read the
Oh,
original
interesting.
stuff and compare it. I personally like when the writer does more, uses it like a loose plot and then drafts up story around it. Like
Yeah.
when Brian Wood told the Queen of the Black Coast for Dark Horse, I liked it like a lot more because it wasn't as dry as like reading it. It had more personality. Like it felt more like a comic than if you were doing an adaptation of prose.
Right.
Yeah. So like if I had to choose this one versus the Brian Wood adaptation, I'd go for the Brian Wood. But this is awesome, like an awesome type of experiment, and especially if you want to see the original material with it. And the
I think it
European
will be
art
interesting to
style would
see.
be attractive, to a lot of people.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they adapted the text and the comic and what they chose to include and not include.
Yeah. And I, one of the things I wanted to mention before we get into your picks is I got to see I'm Not Okay With This on Netflix.
I have not started that yet.
And I will say that it is just as good as the end of the fucking world. And they did get like an incredible acting team to do it.
Yeah.
And I will say that much like the end of the fucking world, I thought it was better than the comic. So it's like you read Charles Forsman's comics and they're pretty down and depressing and you get the general idea of the story, but I think that whoever takes that material and adapts it for TV does it with such, I don't know, grace and depth that they're able to flesh out so many things that aren't in the comic
Yeah,
and make these characters come to life.
they take the characters that he created in these comics and the overall story, but then they kind of explore the characters more, at least
Yeah.
in the other one, and kind of delve more into their pasts and their stories. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I am excited that the casting is as good as it was in the first one, because that was for sure one of the standouts was the two main characters in that were so well casted.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see who they put in this one. Then when are we gonna get the Revenger?
Wanted
Or what was
to.
that? Or what was that other one?
Oh, I am gonna spoil one scene for you. We might get. I don't know if it's true, but there is a scene in the, in if you have to
What?
be,
Is there a cameo?
you have to be looking like really careful. There's not a cameo, but there's an indirect cameo of Slasher, because
Wow.
the guy's going through comic books and Slasher is on the top. So it's
Okay.
a Charles Forssman's book. So I'm hoping, I mean, that one personally is
That
one
I
of
think
my,
they'll do that one next.
that one is personally my favorite, like in his comic book adaptations. Like I can't
Yeah.
say the TV adaptations, 'cause the I can't say which one I like more, because I think they're both incredible. I will say that it is different, and there's only 7 episodes in it. You can finish it in no time, because the episodes range from, I don't know, 19 minutes to like 24 minutes per episode, depending on the episode. So 7 episodes doesn't take a long time to
Yeah, I'll
go at
burn
that.
through that.
You burn through it, you
That's a couple
marathon through
hours.
it. And
Yeah,
there,
essentially it's a movie, so they made a movie and
yeah.
just split it into episodes.
Bless you. Coronavirus.
Yeah,
Yeah, it does. They said coughing or sneezing.
that's true. She just coughed and sneezed. Be
Yeah.
careful, Mike.
Yeah.
Be careful.
She's gonna do it again. She's not done yet.
Well, the corona doesn't go away that
Yeah,
quick.
it doesn't go right. It's like it's all over my computer now. Woo.
Oh, that was a big corona.
Yeah, lots of corona in that one. Hopefully Harley didn't get splashed with that one, because
Watch out
it
for
could
the
go to dogs too.
mist that's floating in the
But
air right
I will say that the way this ends is not, it looks like there might be another 7 episodes. But
Well, the first one, like they did a series that wasn't even like the second series wasn't even based on the comic, right? They just ex extended it
oh,
basically.
the end of the fucking world. But where the comic ends, the series doesn't end. The TV show doesn't end. So there's
Mean it didn't get to the end of the story?
no, it didn't.
Okay, so they're for
So
sure.
I am think I'm, but I will say it ends in such a way that they could continue, or they could just say this is it. Like
Okay.
they don't have to continue. I think you still get a full story, but you're gonna be like scratching your head a little bit, like, well, what's
Yeah,
next, you
it's a
know? Like,
resolution. Yeah.
what's the resolution? But the guy who plays Stan, for me personally, is amazing. Like, that actor is just, God dang. You didn't even see the second. Did you see the second? Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
The end of the fucking world. I just hope that this series garners enough interest that we will get a Revenger and a Slasher. I mean, you know, series. I would like
yeah,
that.
I don't know. I guess the first one was popular enough to warrant this one. And I think Forsman, I don't know if he alluded to it or not, or if I read it somewhere, but I think he signed some kind of a deal where they're going to, or no, maybe it was when we were talking to him.
Yeah, I think it was when we was talking to him. He said that he might have something else in the pipe.
Yeah.
So, he just couldn't say.
I'm guessing that they're hoping to probably do all of his stuff, but yeah, I don't know. I suppose it depends on how popular they are.
Yeah.
I don't know how Netflix works, so if it's the same as other shows and they expect a certain number of watches, and if you don't meet the threshold, then you get canceled.
Yeah, I don't think it would cost that much to do another 7 episodes, though, especially with the duration, because they probably film it like
one
shot, like, because it's not a long time. It just depends on how many takes, but all the actors are just incredible, so I don't know, like, if they just reshoot, like, to get the scene perfect, or if they're just that good.
Yeah, I'm sure they do different takes. But certainly, the investment Netflix is making in these shows versus some of the, like, sci-fi shows is, like, a huge difference. So I'm sure that plays into it where
the numbers,
yeah. If we put in this much money, then we expect this number of watches.
Yeah, I'm sure they have metrics that say,
"Hey, threshold is lower.
My threshold is lower," because they need a return on investment, right? So,
right.
I just finished watching it this morning, and I didn't think it was going to. I thought it would be like 9 episodes, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to get through it. And then I was like, well, I'm going to watch episode 7. And I was like, holy crap, that's the end.
That was the last one.
Yeah. But I like that. I'll probably be watching more Netflix shows because I haven't watched them a lot lately. So, and I don't feel like watching what I'm recording. So, I'll probably do more Netflix. There's so much to consume, though. It's like,
there is.
I mean, there's a couple things on Netflix I want to watch, like Dracula, and they have another one out that I want to watch. I can't remember the name of it. But it's like on my... Oh, Lock and Key. I want to watch that. And I still want to finish the...
Yeah, I haven't started that one either.
The House of Hill House, the whatever that one is. I still want to finish that horror series.
Oh, the Hill House.
Yeah.
Whatever it was called. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Amazon stuff lately.
Amazon's great for like more movies for me, but I haven't watched any of their shows. I mean, I still want to watch The Boys. That's queued up, but.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet.
And I wouldn't mind watching that Jack Ryan show.
Yeah, I
haven't
seen that one either.
The Hitler one, too. The one where they're chasing Nazis.
Oh, Man in the High Tower or whatever.
No, the newer one with Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched that one either. Man, there's too many shows.
Yeah, there are. There are way too many. I want to retire so bad.
I did watch. I watched Carnival Row. That was one I watched recently on Amazon.
What is that?
That's their fantasy one with whatever her name is, Carly. What's her name? Cara Devine or whatever.
Did you like it?
I did. It's about a world where there's humans and then there's like fae, which are like fairies and like mythical beings. And the mythical beings' lands are being attacked, so they've had to immigrate into the human world, and now it's about all the conflict between the humans and the creatures, or not creatures, but the fantasy creatures. It's good. One thing that surprises me always about the Amazon shows is how much money they're spending on these shows, because they look beautiful, like the sets and the costumes and stuff. It's like Man, you're spending so much goddamn money on these shows.
They have so much goddamn money, though.
It's incredible. And I watched a couple episodes of The Expanse, which was a sci-fi show.
Yeah, it continued on Amazon, right?
Yeah. And that one too, they're spending a ton, like it's very, what does that start on?
Sci-fi channel, I
It's
thought.
sci-fi. That one hasn't won me over yet.
Yeah.
But I like Carnival Row.
I
That
still
was
haven't
good.
even got through the Marvel stuff. Like, I still gotta watch Luke Cage, The
Yeah,
Defenders, and Iron
I
Fist, and
haven't
shit. I mean, there's so much
either.
goddamn
I know.
TV I need to watch.
It's
I
ridiculous.
went on that Tarzan thing binge lately, and
I did also watch off of Amazon Da Vinci's City Hall.
what is that?
So there was a show called Da Vinci's Inquest, which was about the head homicide inquest or autop. What is it called? Inquest. Shit, what's the word for it?
Inquisition? I
Yeah,
don't
for
know.
the like, what's the division that does like the autopsies and stuff? Coroner. The
Coroner.
coroner's. Yeah, so it's about a coroner's investigations. So it's kind of like a police procedural, but from the coroner perspective. And it
Was
was
it
on
like
in.
a documentary thing
No,
or
it was a
what?
Canadian, just a show, and it was on for like about, I think it was on like 7 seasons. The first 3 seasons came out on DVD, but none of the other ones. And then there was a spin-off show called Da Vinci's City Hall, and I've been wanting to see it forever, and all of a sudden it appeared on Amazon Prime, so I watched that. And it's really good, but unfortunately there's only one season, so you don't get resolution because there wasn't a
Yeah.
second season. Son of a bitch. But I watched that. That's good if you like political. It's about the mayor. This is the head coroner in Da Vinci's Inquest has become mayor of Vancouver. So it's about the in and outs of being the mayor of Vancouver.
Oh, I thought by title it was Leonardo da Vinci.
No, it's the Dominic Da Vinci is the main character, played by Nicholas Campbell. The great Nicholas Campbell.
Very cool.
So that covers our streaming services shows. So I can talk about my C2E2 stuff.
Yeah, the books that you picked up.
Yeah, and there's mostly I want to talk about the two I like the best. I'll do the first one I'll do is it's called How to Be a Werewolf by Sean Lenore. And this is a web comic. Sean, she was selling the first 2 issues of this at the show. And she said there's going to be a Kickstarter for a graphic novel soon. This is about a young woman who she works at a coffee shop, but when she was a child, she got bit by a werewolf. And ever since then, like she stayed with her family and her family raised her, and she's always suppressed her like werewolf. So every time it starts, she like suppresses it. And she's been able to thus far suppress it. And in the first issue, another werewolf has come into town and has sensed that she's a werewolf, and he's surprised that she has survived as a werewolf on her own for this long, because he says that there's nefarious forces out there who try to recruit young werewolves, and he's surprised that she's been able to suppress her werewolf. So it's, and then in meeting him, she meets some other werewolves. So it's kind of her learning about the werewolf world. So I liked it. It was quite good, and I like the art too. And it's all done by Sean Lenore. So I'll definitely be on the lookout for that Kickstarter when it comes, because
Yeah, it looks like something that could
I
be printed
support it.
by Vault or
Yeah, the art is
SourcePoint or
definitely.
something. It's professionally done.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, she's quite talented. I talked to her for a little while. She was nice.
Yeah, I was looking at the website.
And the first two issues are black and white, but she said that at some point she switched over to color, which I'm kind of sad because I like the black and white art. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's like gray tone.
Yeah, the gray tone.
They look good. It looks good. I'd be interested if she came out with something.
Yeah,
Because
definitely.
I read another web comic too.
As a paper collection or
Yeah, paper
online?
collection.
Okay, let me do my other one first, and then you can do that one.
Okay.
The other one I got is called The Blue Valkyrie. This is by Emily Reisbeck.
Blue Valkyrie.
And this one is about, it's a superhero story. It's about a transgender woman who starts exhibiting superpowers, and it's about her trying to deal with those superpowers and maintain her relationships and things with these powers. So it's kind of like a more down to earth personal story than a superhero fighting bad guys story. And it was really good. The art is a little funky. The art is by David John Mitchell, but I mean it's perfectly fine for the story. I mean, in terms of the storytelling, the art was fantastic. So it did a good job of telling the story, and I think it got better as it went along as well.
It looks like that's a web comic too.
Yeah, I think that was originally or currently a web comic. So this was a trade of the first four issues. And I don't know if this ever came out in issue form or if it just came out in trade form. But it was good. It was good. I like it. I'll definitely get more of that one as well. Those were my two favorite picks of Artist Alley. So yeah, since they're both online, I guess people can go check both of those out.
Yeah, they you can
And
go
then
look at their samples, and that's black and white too then, huh?
yeah, that is. And I was talking to Emily, and apparently, well, one of the books they had there was a preview of a young adult Iron Circus book that's coming out, so that'll be something to look forward
Well,
to in
the
the future.
illustrator's
So
based in Chicago, so it makes sense that they're there.
yeah, I don't know if Sean was from Chicago, but
David John Mitchell.
he might have been. And I think the writer is from Chicago as well. Yeah, I mean, that tends to happen
He
on Artist Alley. You
graduated
get a
from the
lot of
School
local
of Art
people.
Institute in Chicago in 2012. So
There you go.
I think we walked by that university before. When we
Oh, when you
were,
were
yeah,
down
when we
there.
were down there, yeah.
So those are my favorites, and that's why I like going to Artist Alley, because I always discover new stuff.
Yeah, she lives in Chicago with two people and their cat. She likes tabletop role-playing games.
Oh, speaking of tabletop games, are you going to support that? Did you see that Mind Management board game?
No, I am not.
I didn't think you would. I'm thinking.
I love Matt Kent, and I supported the record, but when you go into a realm of gaming,
You're
I might
out.
change in 10 years because I'm reading manga now, but I just don't ever see me playing those games. It would be sitting in a box and I would never play it with anybody.
Yeah. I'm
So
thinking about it 'cause I do like board games, so.
I like the concept of it, and but I like to support his stuff, but I really want to support stuff that I want to experience, like comics. So,
For sure. Yeah,
yeah.
for sure. That's totally understandable that it's too outside your wheelhouse. And yeah, you're right. If you're never going to ever open it and play with it, then what's the point? You'd rather spend that money on
Yeah,
a
at least
comic
the
that you'll
record
read.
is like, it reminded me of those Power Records with the comic books, you know? Like, you could
Yeah, with the
put the
books.
record on and read the comic at the same time. I used to like that as a kid. Even though I don't have a
Another
re even though I don't have a record player though. Like,
one.
I don't ever I might get one someday when I have
That's right. When
time.
you reti when you retire, you can get one. Just push
Yeah.
everything off the when you retire. That was. I remember when I was a kid, we had like the Star Wars one, where you had the 7-inch and then the story,
Yeah,
the
for
book
me,
that you could read
I
along.
only had a couple of them. I had a Batman one, I think with Man Bat, and I
Okay.
had a monster one, and I don't the Living Mummy, I think, and then I had a Tomb of Dracula. I didn't have
Wow.
too many of them, but I had three of them, and then I had like these records that didn't come with comics, but they were like the Superpowers team, where they were just like Audible comics without the comic. So yeah, I've had a couple of those, and then they had a couple of those like weird looking ones that you get in cereal boxes, but you could play. I had some of
Like
those.
a record?
Yeah, they were like record, but they were like f they
Oh, the
weren't they
little
were
thin
flims
ones.
they were the flimsy
The
ones that you could
vinyl
put
or
it.
whatever.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they were not even vinyl. They were like,
I know what you're talking about. And you had to put like pennies on them to hold them
yeah, to
down.
hold them down. Yeah, they were weird. But I spent about, I would say, an hour and a half to 2 hours reading a web comic called Menage a Three.
Oh
And
yeah, I read the half of the first volume.
I did you order a physical copy?
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
I didn't realize that we had experienced Giselle Lugosi before when we talked about
Yeah, she did
that
Exorcist
Image
or whatever.
Exorcist Sisters, yeah. But I think she's incredible in this book, and
Yeah,
it's
well,
a way
she has
it
the kind of like the Archie type style.
is the Archie type style. She
And this is
tells
the
us
naughty Archie type style.
it's naughty, but it's not.
It's tasteful. Yeah.
It's like tasteful naughty. It's like
Well,
Three's
Three's Company.
Company or Five's Company, depending on how you look at it, because
Although I do remember some panels with two guys.
yeah, there's two guys, but it's you only see the leg and the doggy style, but there's no like dangling dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It leaves that stuff to your imagination.
The dangling dicks are left to your
There's
imagination.
no vagina or anything. There are a lot of breasts, but
That's because the one roommate has ginormous boobs.
yeah, she's French. She's I like the guy. It features a guy named Gary, Dee Dee, and Z. Z's like a punk rock chick. Dee Dee's the big-breasted bombshell from France.
The Amazon.
Yeah, she's like the Amazon. And Gary's a virgin, which he's still a virgin in my eyes, but he gets into some weird situations. So it's like he had a roommate, and one day he walks in the room and they're fucking. They're fucking. He's like, oh my God. And not only are they fucking, but they say, hey, we like each other a lot. We're gonna move in together. So he's like, oh fuck, how am I gonna pay this the rent? So he starts interviewing people, and he finds this punk rock chick, and I kind of knew she was gonna be sort of bad news as far as making payments, but he finds her, and she's like a really likable character.
She kind of forced her way in.
She sort of forced her way in, right? And she even brought the other girl, and I didn't even think he was looking for her. But he gets into the situation. He's like, man, I'm in this situation with these two beautiful women. And I don't know how far you got into the story, so I'm going to like just keep it general for now. But it's an ongoing story about this relationship, and it involves the two gay guys. But what you really learn over the course of this is I think they're all sort of bisexual, except for maybe Gary. But he does things that could constitute that he's bisexual, but basically he wants to not be a virgin anymore. And ZZ is trying to crack that virginity, but you probably got to the scene where I thought was hilarious is where the bombshell goes out and wants to do tanning, right? Like she wants to be tanned.
Mm-hmm.
And Z is bisexual, and they're both, Gary and her are fighting over the suntan lotion. Like, I want to apply suntan lotion.
That's when they're like at the park or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other two guys are fucking in the park. His old two roommates, which they play a big part in the story. It gets pretty convoluted. But they even introduce another character later on that's in love. She's a female from Japan that's in love with Z, which is the punk rock girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because she's making a comic. And that whole thing is she wants Gary to draw it. But Gary can only draw men because he has men as a model all the time. But it's so weird and strange. And they get into these weird predicaments because it's done like a Three's Company sitcom.
Yeah, it's a comedy, and it's done. Isn't it like each page basically a contained strip?
Yeah.
In the ongoing story.
It's pretty dense, though. If you sit down and read it, like,
well, that first volume's thick, man.
350 pages. And what was cool about it, though, is you get to the end and they have like this section called guest strips. And they actually did, with different artists, have guest strips. And they sort of tell you where they fit into the story. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was, it was very funny. And
who's the writer? Is it David something?
David Lumsden, and I think they've worked together before on other titles.
Yeah, they have some other stuff too.
Yeah, but there's a lot of references to like comics and.
Yeah, because I forgot the main character is like a comic artist, right?
Yeah, and I think Cassell likes the Ramones a lot because ZZ is always Zai is always wearing a Ramones shirt. But I like when they were fighting over the suntan lotion and he just like rips her fucking shirt off. And then she sort of straps it in, you know, straps something on her so she could take the lotion. And they're constantly fighting over it because they want to apply it on her.
They both want to apply the lotion.
And they get there and the two gay guys, well, the two bisexual guys are applying lotion on her. So it's very strange. And he's still a virgin, so I don't know how long that'll last.
And I think there's like six volumes or something of that.
I have four of them, so I bought all four sight unseen based on somebody's recommendation. And
yeah, I got the first one, but definitely next time they appear in previews, I'll scoop them up.
Yeah, I don't know what my database says there. I think there's only three, four of them. I know it ended because the 11 o'clock comic guys are big on this series as well. And I know they said Gazelle's had the last webcomic out. They're all about the same size. So it's a good... It's a good price. You get 2 hours worth of material for $20. It's more beefy. It takes me longer to read this than it would a manga.
I don't know. I just found a Kickstarter for volume 9.
Oh, so maybe there's only four in print from Udon. Because I bought them from Udon. I didn't buy the Kickstarters.
Yeah. So, but because I know they sell their own stuff, so maybe like at their website you can get the other ones.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. She's an incredible artist. She draws
well,
good
we like
comedy.
Her art in Exo Sisters made that comic, I think.
Yeah, and she does really good timing, like comic timing, I think. They both do. Like the situations they get in are funny.
Yeah, I hope that I hope we see more in previews, but I don't. I guess you're right. I don't know how many Udon published.
Yeah, I know I'm on board. So yeah, this was a good. I was impressed. I didn't know I would finish it. I actually was only halfway through last night, and then I went to bed. And I decided to read some more, and I read most of it. And then I couldn't sleep because the light was so damn hot that I was using to read. So I was, like, so hot that I came back downstairs and finished it.
You're right. Udon did 4 volumes. It's weird.
Maybe those other volumes are thinner, the Kickstarter ones.
I don't know.
I was happy, though, because these Udon is kind of like in the manga section. I thought I was going to have to read it backwards, and this is not one of those.
Can I see how many pages this thing is? It doesn't say.
What else do you got?
What else do I have? Let me see. Well, I could talk about Hexagon since we mentioned it before. Although, I think this is coming out. It just hasn't come out yet, so I won't spoil it.
You can give a general synopsis.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. It's really good. So it's about a... I guess it's kind of a familiar story. It's about a kid who his parents have forbid him to. I can't remember if it's forbid him to play a certain video game at the arcade or to play any games at the arcade. I think he's not allowed to play any games at the arcade. So, but all his friends do, and there's one game that all his friends are really into and excited about, and they're trying to get him to, you know, don't listen to your parents. You should come and play. So. One night he does, and he sneaks in and plays, this game, and yeah, then you find out why his parents didn't want him to go to the arcade and play the game. But it was good. It was quite enjoyable. So that's the one by Michael Moresi.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was good.
I did order it, so.
Yeah, I think I did too. And that's more... I think this... What does it say on it? I think it's... it's rated T for teen, so... Like, it's... They're dip into the more all ages. And the art is kind of like a more manga style. In terms of, the character designs.
Yeah. I read a Kickstarter called Start Again. A superhero story, a boy meets girl... And what got me to buy this is they had interiors, and it is really good art. I don't know who the artist is because I don't have it in front of me. I think it's Tony Danya. The writer is Jamie Mee. I think it's a UK type book. And if you look at the Kickstarter, you can see some of the interiors because he's got issue 3 being Kickstarted right now. I supported it, but the Kickstarter that I bought had issue 1, mm-hmm. issue 2, and short stories, which was like an anthology of the characters. And the only complaint I have about this book, other than the quality is pretty damn good, is you really don't, he really doesn't build you like build up the characters so you understand what's happening. Because the two main characters, there's this guy that meets this girl in a bathroom. It's like a co-ed bathroom. He accidentally opens a stall and she's pissing. And then they end up together. They end up having sex. And then there's a weird scene where he's like on top of her going to town, and he looks down at her and her hair's changed color, and he hears this weird voice in his head, and he like freaks out and sort of jumps out the window naked. And you're like, this is like a 30-story apartment building, and he just jumps out and sort of lands okay, but he's all naked. So you know this guy has like superpowers, and I think his name is Jump. But it's weird because you never get to know why he jumped out the window or why he freaked out. And so I read issue two, and then there's one story that's, I mean, one panel which sort of builds on it. But then I still confused. So I like wrote the guy on Twitter. I said, "Could I ask you a question? Why did the naked guy jump out of the building? I have no idea." And he says, "Well, did you read issue two?" And I go, "Yeah, I still don't know why the fuck he jumped out of the building." And I said, "I read the short stories too." So I'm still confused. And he says, "Well, I think you're gonna enjoy issue three then." And I'm like, "Well, thanks a lot, dude." I still don't know why the naked guy jumped out the building. But she ends up.
I actually did read these as well.
Oh, really? I didn't think you would have gotten
Well,
them.
I got the digital, because it was like, it's like 10 or 12 issues. Like it was these two issues, and then like all his past issues. So I was like, all right, whatever. And for like whatever, $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so if you do a Kickstarter, you give me like a bunch of your old books for. Digital books for $5. I'm like, all right.
Ah.
And I was in the same place as you. I think after issue two, obviously it has to do with that woman that he keeps seeing and hearing her voice,
Yeah,
but
the redheaded girl,
we have no idea who that is.
but like he doesn't build on the characters at all. Like he doesn't like inter like
No,
I know
there was hardly any character development.
that's my problem. Like I think if I got to know the characters, 'cause she ends up pregnant. And you
Yeah,
really
but you don't.
don't know more from that point, like what's going on. And if you read the short story, it kind of gives you backstory on the main girl in terms of her relationship with her parents. And she's like one of those cosplayers that you see on Twitter that sort of does the nude Patreon things, you know, like where you could go to their site and do that kind of stuff. And I don't know. The whole series is weird, but like artistically, it's a beautiful book.
Yeah,
And
it
this
did look
artist is
good.
incredible. I just wish you would flesh out the story so you tell me like why I care about these characters, you know? Like
Yeah. And even, like, I'm thinking about it, like, when the guy found out she was pregnant, he didn't really have
yeah.
much of a reaction to it. He
It
was
was
just like,
weird. The whole thing was weird.
"You're pregnant? Oh, okay."
Yeah, I don't get it. Like it's so like plot driven, but then I don't know what's happening. So it's like, but I'm curious as hell. That's why I tweeted him. I said, "You should tweet him." I said, "I have a question, man." Then you'll be the second person that tweets him and say, "Why did the naked guy jump out of the building?" And then maybe he'll get the idea that like, why, what? You know, like why is this? Why are so many people asking questions? So I supported the next one, but he said it's only four issues, so I think I can binge the next two. A matter of fact, it's weird because I forgot I supported it, and then they arrived, and I had already bought number three with everything, and then I'm like, this
Oh,
looks
I'll see you
familiar.
change it.
So luckily, I was able to change it.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it appealed to you if you supported it twice.
I supported it twice, but
See,
the
now.
second time I reduced it because I
Right, just
said
very
I just
bad
want the
ones.
issue three, yeah.
Now, do you have any, or did you consider not supporting this one and just waiting for number four
No,
and getting
because I'm
like
worried that there'll be like
four?
there's just a four or you get the whole thing. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, not just the three and four.
Because
Yeah, I
I
guess.
don't see any options. There was one series that the Kickstarter did this weird thing, but I didn't like realize how weird it was, and I never got the survey that let me break out. So he sent me the default, but there was one tier that said pick four or something like that, and then you could pick like, oh, I want issue two, three, and four or five, or I
Right.
want one, two, three, and four. And
Right.
but most of the Kickstarters that I see is like you can get the latest issue or you could get the whole thing
The bundle of all
or you can
of
go digital, but I don't want to go digital, so yeah, I'm surprised I made the wrong assumption in thinking that you would have gotten this one. I don't know. You don't do as much Kickstarters as I didn't know have any idea you would have done this.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was just because
Maybe you
the
saw the
digital came
art
with
and
so
you're like,
much
wow, the
stuff.
art looks amazing.
Yeah, it was good. The art was good for sure.
But this one, they don't leave anything to the imagination like Ménage à Trois. It's like
There was a lot of dicks in
there's a
this
lot of
one.
dick dangling and nudity.
Yeah, because the superhero guy, after he jumped out the window, someone took a video of him on the street naked,
Yeah.
and that made it to all the sites in the
And that's when you
newspaper.
know he has superpowers and he's this guy Jump, but then you don't really get to know what he does or why he's doing it or what is going on. That's my problem with the series. I hope the next series,
I
like
would
we get
agree.
the next issue, we get introduced to the redhead. Like, was it somebody that was a villain and was controlling him, or it's in his mind, or you know what's happening?
Yeah, I would expect. Well, if he said that we'll find out in the third issue, then he must be revealing the secret
Yeah.
of
I'm
the
looking
woman.
forward to Zack's new book, The From Blood. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens
That's the
with that.
one you talked about the first issue, right?
Yeah.
That's one I haven't supported this one. Because it's three issues, and I think I'm just going to wait for the third one to get the bundle.
If it makes it. Well, I think it got funded, the second one.
Yeah, it looked like it was funded.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I almost bought the
Such
original art
decisions you have to
piece
make.
'cause there's an incredible piece, but the one thing I didn't like about it was on 8 11 by 8, and then it was like the bottom part of the drawing was on 11 by 8, but then it wasn't aligned. It was weird.
I saw this. I saw the same thing. I know. Like, why the hell did he do that? Why is it offset?
Why it's all, you
The
saw it
weirdest
too,
thing.
huh?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's
I'm
like
like,
sexy as hell because she's on like
yeah, it's a nice
it's
picture.
a nice drawing, but then I was like, how do I store that? Or you know, it's just I have a bottom half that doesn't even align with the top half, and I was like, that's strange.
Is strange. And then, yeah, there was one tier for a page, like an original art page. But it was just like one, it was like limited to one. It was like one page. And
You're picking
someone
up
got
on
it,
this.
obviously. But I thought that was very strange that you'd offer one, just one page out of it.
Yeah. I thought Barb was picking us up on the Bluetooth.
Oh, Barb listening in on the Bluetooth. Oh,
Yeah.
that, well, she did pay for that Patreon tier.
The Patreon tier. She's the only Patreon.
Listen live Bluetooth option.
That's pretty much. I haven't read a lot this week, which is surprising. I mean, I read a ton of Batman last week.
Else did I read? I read something else. Let me go to my file. Oh, I read. I'll save this one for you to read it. But the Source Point horror double feature. I assume you got that one.
Yeah.
That was really good.
So we'll have to talk about that one. I like their books. Source Point reminds me of a publisher that kind of goes through Artist Alley, and they just find things that they like, and they say, "Oh, you can print with us if you want."
Yeah, basically.
That's
I think
what
that is kind of the
Source
model.
Point reminds me of. Because you get a lot of older books there too.
Yeah, they do republish stuff that
that's been
has
out
been
for a while, or I've
self-published
bought it
before,
or I've seen it at a comic convention before.
That's what actually I was going to read that, but I didn't get around to it yet. I think it's called Touching Evil by Dan Doherty.
Yeah.
It's something that was I've seen it before. I know it's been published before, but now they're publishing it.
You know, we're talking recently about Vertigo, and I just finished two Vertigo series, and I thought they were, like, super good. One was American Mythology, and that was about the FBI, the guy that was kicked out of the FBI agent. Yeah, that goes under white supremacist. Did you ever read that trade?
No, not yet. I have it though.
Oh God, it's phenomenal.
Remember, we liked the first issue.
Yeah,
I
we did. Another book that we liked a lot was Deathbed.
Liked it. You liked that more than I did.
I think you liked it. That was about the Doc Savage braggart guy that the girl goes to write about a biography about him.
Oh, yeah, I did like that one.
And then the mummy's attack. Well, it was, what's his name drawing it? You had to have liked it.
Yeah,
it was Rossimo.
That's right, I did like that. I was thinking of a different one.
You don't even remember what you like and don't like anymore. I have to remind you.
I'm going to look it up in my file.
Yeah. Well, actually, look up that and tell me what you gave it.
Oh, 5 out of 5.
What'd you give it?
5 out of 5.
There you go. See? And then American Mythology, what did you give that one?
I guess I gave that a 4 out of 5. Let's look it up. American. Oh, I don't have that in my file.
You did read it, though. I know you did.
We talked about it on the show.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know. Listen back to the episode, then you can find out what I gave it.
You gave it a 5 out of 5.
Mythology.
No. But I'm the next one that I'm gonna read is The Wake. But so far, like, the Vertigos are just amazing. Like, they never lost their touch in that batch. That batch of books.
Cool. Yeah, I've always liked Vertigo stuff.
The other one is like beyond fantastical. Like, it's the Deathbed one. It's like crazy, insane stuff. But
I have to find my trade of that.
Don't want to spoil that because it's
too
worth,
good to
it's,
spoil.
It's worth it. It just goes around craziness because as they're attacked by this cult, which we saw in the first issue, they're attacked. It leads to learning more about this character and why he's the way he is and things that he's gone through in life. And the writer gets to experience like these adventures. It's like if she's documenting the life and times of Doc Savage, you know, like an adventure, like a pulp character, like Tom Strong. And it's really good.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
So I've been like on this DC kick, like where I just want to go to the basement and look at boxes that I haven't read and just pull out these DC runs and just read them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my new thing.
And you can.
Yeah.
That's the great part of it.
So
here's something I read.
All right.
Which you probably have it. Or did you? Yeah, I think you got all the Black Hammer stuff, right?
Yeah.
So this was a spin-off series, Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy.
Uh-huh.
By Jeff Lemire, with art by Tansy Zonic, who I love. Fantastic. 5 out of 5.
There you go. And then you'll probably read it in trade in the year 2025.
That's right. In the decimated world of 2025. I'll read the page and then wipe my ass with it. I'm done.
There you go. You'll say, I like this a lot, but there's no toilet paper to be found.
And I don't know how this ties to Black Hammer. Like, I don't know if Skull Digger or Skeleton Boy is in the Black Hammer proper series or world.
I think he's like a Punisher type character. So every...
Yeah.
The whole Black Hammer world is sort of him taking the Legion analogs of Superheroes, of, yeah. the Justice League, and analogs of Marvel and DC that he's always wanted to write, and then putting them in a story.
Yeah, so this is his Punisher character. And in this story, he, like... It's kind of like a Batman type thing. So this kid sees his parents killed, and then Skull Digger comes and kills the guy who killed his parents, and then the kid's all alone. So Skull Digger ends up like taking him in. It was really good, and the art is amazing. I've always liked Tansy Zonic's art.
What has he done before?
He did a. He did those like crime books with what's his face? What were they called? I don't remember. I have to look it up.
They're not the hard case crime books, right?
No, they're the one. I think he did the ones. There was like three in the series, and they had like almost the same name, but they were like slightly different. What was it called? Oh, Jake Ellis. That's it. Like, who is Jake Ellis? Where's Jake Ellis?
Oh, yeah.
What has Jake Ellis done today? Those ones. Nathan Edmondson, that's who wrote those. And he's done some... other stuff. That's where mostly where I know him from. Guess he's done some Lobster Johnson stuff in the Mignola world. I also read, I can't remember if I talked about this on a previous show. Oh, yeah, I think I did. Never mind. Well, I'll mention it. Yeah, I did mention it. Never mind. It's the reprint of Daredevil #4 with the Purple Man. That was good. The first Purple Man. Which I didn't realize the Purple Man had been around for that long. I didn't know he was introduced that early in the series.
I didn't buy any of the Jake Ellis comics. I have a trade somewhere, but finding it will be a bitch.
But the art in this, the Skull Digger, Skull Kicker, or whatever it's called, it's fantastic. It'll blow you away. That's how good it is.
Very cool. Look forward to it when I
There's
read
one.
It.
So the Skull Digger, his weapon is he has this like gold skull on a chair, or the skull on a chain that he like whips at people.
Yeah.
And there's one scene of him like whipping it where it goes like across, it's like a double page spread. Oh, it's fantastic. Fantastic.
Kind of like the Phantom. He had the ring with the skull on it and would imprint the skull.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I hit him in the face. Trying to see what he's done. He's done some Daredevil, surprisingly or not. The Tansy Zonic.
Did he do some Daredevils? I wonder if it was like full issues or like part of.
I did a Marvel comic called Heralds. That sounds interesting. Looks like it's. I don't own it, but it looks interesting.
Oh, yeah. I think. Do I have that? Let's look.
I don't know. It looks good. Immortal Iron Fist, he done some of that. That was a popular series. Larry Lobster Johnson. Marvel Divas.
Heralds. I have number one. Yes.
Skull Digger. Superman 80-page giant. He has some DC work. Yeah, he's done quite a bit. I don't have any of a lot of his stuff, though. This Heralds looks interesting because it's got Valkyrie in it and Misty Knight and Black Cat. It looks really good.
Is that 2010?
She-Hulk. I can't tell who the woman in white is. That looks like something I want to...
Emma Frost.
Check out. She doesn't look like Emma, though.
That's what it says.
I know.
She's white. That's Emma's color. Yeah, I have to read that number one. I have to find it. To look at my file. Well, it's in my it's Marvel, right? So it's in my Marvel boxes.
Yeah. You probably have number one, but I don't think you have that book.
I have number one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, number one.
Now that I know you like him, I'll keep an eye out. And I'll say, hey, why didn't you order this?
Yes. You gotta order this one. You gotta tell me these things or I'll miss them.
Yeah.
And I'll cry.
Do you have any TV or movies that we didn't already talk about that you wanna... We talked about streaming, but...
And just regular... Oh, I got movies, yeah. I did watch a few movies. I watched... Let me find my list. Well, I know for sure I watched Harriet recently. The Harriet Tubman movie. That was really good. I think it was nominated for some awards, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah?
It was really good. A really good telling of her life story. It's pretty amazing what she did and kept on doing during the Civil War and stuff. Mm-hmm. I also watched the new Terminator movie, Dark Fate.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it as well. I think it was exactly what I was looking for. And I'm a fan of that actress, so who played the woman, the new woman.
The robot one?
The human with the cybernetics.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
The blonde one.
Yeah, the blonde one. That was good. Very action packed. And I liked
good use of Arnold too, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was good use of both Arnold and Sarah Connor. How they brought him back into the story. I thought it was really well done.
I agree.
I also watched the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
That's out?
Yeah.
What is that?
What do you mean, what is it?
Where do I get it?
I don't know. I got it from the library.
It's a movie that didn't go to the theaters or what?
I don't know. Did it go to the theaters?
Is it Jay and Silent Bob movie or is it like them stand up?
It's a movie. It's the new Jane Silent Bob movie.
Damn it.
I thought it came to the theaters, did it not?
I would have been there to see it.
Are you sure it did? I think it had a theatrical release.
It didn't at my theater.
It didn't make very much money. It might have been a limited release. Interesting. I don't know. I just get this stuff at the library. I don't pay attention to it. I'm going to look it up. An IMDb. Came out in 2019. November. Just came out on DVD.
It didn't go to the theaters. That's what I'm saying.
But it had a... It did gross... Yeah, it did come out in theaters. Because it grossed $5 million.
How much did it cost to make?
I think $13
million. Wow.
So this one is about... Let's see, how did it start? Oh, Jay and Silent Bob find out they're remaking the Blunt Man and Chronic movie. So they're going to Hollywood to stop them from making the movie.
But it's got like Ben Affleck and Alyssa Jones and all the people that have been in other movies. I want to see this.
Yeah, it had. Yeah, so all of the characters from all, I think, like literally like all characters from their other movies are in this one. Yeah, because, well, Ben Affleck plays his character from Mallrats. Like, they all play like their characters from their old movies, or play actors from those movies. It's like weird. So both things. But Ben Affleck plays his character from Mallrats, who is now like wrote the book about. No, wait, Mallrats Chasing Amy. That's what he was in, right? Yeah. So he plays his character from Chasing Amy, and he's written a book about it, and they're turning it into a movie. So he's appearing at this convention to promote the movie or something like that. It's pretty convoluted.
I want to watch this, man.
But it's good. I mean, it's, and both Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith's daughters were in the movie.
Well, Kevin Smith. She's been in several movies.
Yeah, she's been in his other movies. She's really good in this. I actually thought she did a great job.
She was even in that horror movie. What was it called?
The Tusk.
Tusk. Yeah.
They actually talk about it. They name drop a lot of the old movies in this one too. They even have like the guy, like some of the guys from Clerks in this one too.
Jason Bates. And the store from Clerks.
Yeah, he is in it. And they have the comic book man. Yeah, comic book man guys in it.
Melissa Benoist is in it. Super.
Yeah, she has a cameo.
I so want to watch this. I'm going to pay to watch it today. If Barb wants to. I so want to watch this. What the hell did I see last week? I didn't know this existed. The movie, the box office says it made only $93,000 on the first weekend.
Yeah, it must have been limited release.
$4 million. It doesn't say what the budget is either.
Yeah, I just saw that on Google, but I don't know how accurate that is.
Son of a bitch. I want to know. It's not a popular movie. It didn't get good scores compared to his other ones. But I want to see it because I'm a completist. Well, I didn't watch. The other one I didn't watch is that. Hooser girl, the woman with his daughter. Yoga Hoosers.
Yeah,
I think that one's on Netflix, I think.
And but this one, the other thing that's funny about this one is the plot of it is the same as the plot of Jay and Silent Bob Strike
Strike
Back.
Back, yeah.
Because in that movie, they were also going to stop the filming of Blunt Man and Chronic. But this one, they're stopping making the reboot of the But they make fun of it. They like talk about it in the movie. They're like self-referencing it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty like weird meta kind of movie, where it's a combination of real life and fiction.
Oh, I know
Well, it's
what I saw.
real life within their universe.
Yeah.
What'd you see?
I saw Invisible Man.
Ooh.
The new one. It was really good. It was it's like if you crossed Fatal Attraction and Sleeping with the Enemy with the Invisible Man. So it was a good suspense horror flick.
Cool, yeah, I want to see that one.
Has the woman from The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
I think that movie made a lot of money because it only costed $7 million to make.
Hey, that's cheap.
Yeah.
Bargain.
There weren't a lot of known actors in it besides her, though. At least ones that I recognize.
That's how you do it.
Oh, but you know who it did have? There's a Friday Night Lights connection.
Oh.
Do you remember Barb would yell at me what his name was, but oh, do you remember that quarterback that was coming back? His name was Voodoo. That was trying to take the position of Saracen.
Barely.
He was that
I need to
asshole
do a
guy.
I need to do a rewatch of that
Friday
show.
Night Lights is my favorite show, so I like know shit like this. But Barb reminded me who he was. But he was
So
the one
you
that had the
recognized him?
he was the one that had suffered his lost his family in Hurricane Katrina, and or
Okay.
lost his home, and then they came in, and then Buddy and the coach, unknowingly the coach recruited him under circumstances that could get the school into trouble. And Voodoo was like this badass athlete. He wouldn't even listen to the coach. And he would do his own thing. And that's kind of how he got in trouble with the coach. But they got politically in trouble too from the. Because you can't recruit like they recruited.
Oh, yeah, I remember that
Well,
storyline,
Voodoo's one of the main sort of cops, friend of the Handmaid's Tale woman. But it was a Friday Night Light connection, man.
yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
I love that Friday Night Lights. It's such a good show.
Yep, all the greats.
Jay and Silent Bob reboot. God damn it, how could I not be in the in on that?
I'm shocked that I figured you'd have seen it, but I didn't know it only got a limited release, if that's the case.
I think it needed a bigger release. It should come out now. They should re-release it during the time where everybody's pulling their movies back
It's
because
perfect
of the
time to release it.
coronavirus and see what it'll do. I would do it.
You know, a movie theater is probably one of the safer places, public places during the coronavirus.
Why? Haven't you seen that
Because
movie Outbreak?
but you're really not going to be exposed to a lot of people. Because you come in, you get your popcorn, and you go sit down.
Yeah, but you sit down in a chair that's covered in coronavirus. And then you
What
dip your hand, you touch the
are the
side of
odds that
it.
someone in that exact seat had corona and was coughing on the
Pretty high based on the
touch?
spread. All it takes is one contamination and a couple coughs. Didn't you see that Dustin Hoffman movie Outbreak?
Well, go sit. What if you sit in the front row?
Do you remember the Dustin Hoffman movie
What if
Outbreak?
you sit in that front section, though? No one sits in that front section.
But cough goes down. Gravity's gonna take the air, the spit particles down.
All the way down to the front.
Yeah, to the front. Did you see that movie Outbreak? There's a scene in the movie where one guy coughs, he's contaminated, and it shows like the micro bubbles
the
coming out of his mouth, and it just spreads everywhere and contaminates the whole goddamn theater. And you know for a fact that when they clean the theater, they don't wipe anything down.
There you go. Someone asks, is Jay and Silent Bob reboot coming to theaters? Jay and Silent Bob is in theaters for 2 days.
Shit. And probably limited, like, L.A. and, you know, like... I didn't even know that movie was out. That's why you piss me off sometimes. You should... tell me things so I know.
So you can prepare.
And then just instead of dropping the bomb in the episode, well, saying, guess what I saw, you motherfucker.
The problem is I like put these things on my library list when they come out, and then it's just a surprise when it comes in.
Yeah, but you knew I'm a Kevin Smith fan. I would have been at the theater.
I know, that's why I figured you saw it at the theater. I should have told you when it was in the theater for its 2 day run.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a 2 day run. I would have gone and seen it.
Well, the movie I want to see now that's out, but we went to Boulder yesterday, is the basketball one with Ben Affleck, because I love sports type movies. That's one of my things. And especially if it's basketball, because I can't
relate.
That
was your sport.
That was my sport. So, yeah, I want to see that.
I'm not even aware of that movie.
Yeah, it came out this week. A lot of movies, like the James Bond movies pulling out, there's a lot of movies that are saying, fuck it. If I was doing Bloodshot, I'd be worried. I'd be, like, really worried. Because of they're releasing on Friday the 13th. They're releasing against that movie Hunted, which was already suspended because of the gun violence in it. And I actually want to see that one more than Bloodshot. But I'll go see Bloodshot because it's Bloodshot.
Just that one, yeah, you need to see it because you don't know how long it's going to last in the theaters.
See, I think they made a mistake with Bloodshot. If I was doing Bloodshot, I would have definitely either gone the mafia route, or I would have gone the route of Jeff Lemire, where he's like a crazy motherfucker with that little cartoon thing next to him. Because if you did that kind of thriller, like psychological thriller, it's like at the Joker level. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like insane, because it's like a mind game. And I think it would appeal to those, and you can make it so weird that it could have like a surprise ending, but instead they went with like the generic Bloodshot.
Yeah, which I think is still a strong concept.
I don't know. All I see is Vin Diesel, and I say, oh God, it's one of those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how well that works. That could either be good for them because he's a well-known name.
I think it'll be like a lot like the current comic that's out right now by Tim Seeley. I think it'll be like that. But I'm just guessing based on the previews.
Yeah.
I'll go
yeah,
see
I haven't
it
really
next
paid
week
attention.
Depending on the situation of the coronavirus. I might just wait it out. It depends on how... I'm more worried about my parents, my parents and Barb's parents and the older people I know at work, and I'm more concerned about...
Even if we got it, it's not that big a deal, but yeah, we have to be concerned with people we come in contact with who are older.
Yeah. They were saying that one of the reason the kids aren't getting it is because of that vaccine they introduced several years ago, the I can't remember what it's called. But kids that were vaccinated against that supposedly it built up some kind of immunity to this coronavirus.
Really? I hadn't
Yeah.
read that. Is that
HIPV? I can't remember what
oh,
the
the
hell.
HPV one?
HPV, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about right now. There's people saying that that's what the theory is, the way the kids aren't getting it. Because
But
usually, like,
is
a
that a theory based on anything, or are they just guessing?
I think it's based on something, but it's not like hard evidence. It's like
Yeah, they don't know for
there's
sure.
like some scientific fact that could be true, but there's not, they haven't like investigated as far as, there's some science behind it. It's not speculation,
I haven't heard that.
but it's not fact.
You didn't see this on Fox News, did you?
I did not. I don't watch Fox News.
I know. Okay. Sounds strange to me, though, because those things are not even related.
But the
I guess they're both viruses.
post-apocalyptic stuff, they always have, there are those stories where the virus starts to wipe out the adults, which is interesting.
Yep, there have been many
Yep.
stories along those lines.
Any other movies that you want to disappoint me with? Or say like, hey, I watched this.
I did watch the Mr. Rogers
Oh,
movie
I did see
starring
that
Tom
one.
Hanks. That was interesting.
The Beautiful Neighborhood, was that what it's
Yeah,
called?
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I thought that was interesting just from to get to see how they produced the TV show. Like the actual TV show. Kind of like
I thought it was
some behind the
interesting
scenes.
because I expected to be more of a Mr. Rogers, and it was more about the character
But
that was
the reporter, yeah.
investigating Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
He really seems like, I don't know much about him, but or how much is true, but he does seem like a fascinating man, you know, the way he looked at things.
Yeah, and I assume a lot of it is real because it was all, the whole thing was based on the actual article that he wrote.
But as a human being, he was very empathetic to the kids, like to try to see through their eyes rather than to see through their look it down on them like an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much of that was true
Yeah.
or made up. But it was good.
All right, well, I think we can wrap this one up. And go check out Eight Guns or Eight Gunshots: Stories of the Wild West on the Kickstarter by Luke Foster.
Yes.
Try to help him get to his goal. And
If you like Western stories,
if you like pulp magazines, I would say, like, pulpy short stories in the vein of Edgar Rice Burroughs and Robert E. Howard that wrote in these pulp magazines a lot of stories. Later on, they became novels, but a lot of them started out in pulps. So you might like it. You can reach Bill at DBM00. The Dangerously Bill Mastersons?
Close enough.
Something like that. And then I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. And you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can
Yes.
send us email at mike@comicbooknoise.com or bill@comicbooknoise.com. And you know what we forgot to cover is the issues that I sent you. I forgot to read it too. So maybe next time we could put
We
that on our
said, yeah,
queue.
we said we were gonna do that next episode.
Yeah. And we didn't. But,
I think we. All right. Yes, we'll do that for sure. For
for one
sure.
thing, we couldn't coordinate our
Anything.
books. But I think
everything up.
I think I'll send you a couple of books early, and then if you could send me something that you're gonna plan on reading. I know how you like to like queue up the best, like.
I know. I have to read it first, and then
you have to read it first, and then.
Well, I don't want to talk about a book that I hated.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna find your email, and I'm gonna open the link.
And I'll remember to do it. I know it's on the computer. I downloaded it. It should be in my download folder. Well, I'm gonna go take Harley for a walk because I took advantage of the two for four McDonald's special and didn't have time to take Harley, so she's out basking in the sun waiting for her walk.
All right, well, have fun on your walk.
Have a
Enjoy
good
the
week.
Weather.
Yep, it's really good weather. I don't know what it's like over there, but we've had...
It's going to be 60 today here.
Yeah, same here. We've had some incredible days. Like, it was the best day ever to travel to Boulder. So.
Yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your day, my friend.
All right, you too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.